AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 12 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Sam Litzinger. Officials think rebels in Iraq probably didn't know what they had, but their roadside bomb contained the deadly nerve agent sarin. Brigadier General Mark Kimmett says the improvised explosive device went off before it could be disarmed.
Two explosive ordnance team members were treated for minor exposure to nerve agent as a result of the partial detonation of the round.
General Kimmett says Saddam Hussein's regime claimed it had destroyed all its chemical weapons after the Persian Gulf War, but analysts say there's still lots of dangerous material around. The White House says the murder of the president of the Iraqi Governing Council is tragic, but won't stop the U.S. from helping Iraq become a democracy. The Iraqi leader was killed in a suicide attack in Baghdad today. Opponents say they're not finished yet, but Massachusetts has begun issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Hundreds of weddings are scheduled today. This issue could be put on a state ballot in a couple of years. I'm Sam Litzinger, NBC News Radio.
Seasonal allergies are in full bloom, Ragweed.
A great time to make them suffer, Pollen.
Why take an OTC allergy medicine that stops working in 6 hours? Just one dose of once daily Allegra with fexofenadine lasts up to 4 times longer than one dose of most OTC allergy medicines. Comparison based on label directions. See our ad in Prevention Magazine. Visit Allegra.com or call 1-800-ALLEGRA. For people 12 and over, side effects are low and may include headache, cold, or backache.
Long-lasting Allegra takes the fun out of our allergy season.
Talk to your doctor. Today, take once daily Allegra. The relief goes on.
Thinking about buying a used vehicle from a private owner? Think about this. Every Ford Quality Check certified pre-owned vehicle has to pass a rigorous 115-point inspection. The ones that do qualify come with 6 years, 75,000-mile powertrain, limited warranty coverage, and 24-hour roadside assistance. Think you'll get a 3.9% interest rate from a private owner? I don't think so. If we don't certify it, it's just used. Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for journalistic excellence, including Best Newscast, award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 65 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. The governor says it may take a while to complete the investigation into Saturday's Gerber collapse. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Traffic on the freeway system moving along in pretty good shape as we hit the main part of the lunch hour right now. There is an accident reported on the ramp from eastbound I-270 to eastbound I-70, though. That could cause you some problems in there. Southbound Colorado Boulevard over top of I-25, injury accident there. Emergency equipment just getting ready to leave that location. Northbound Sheridan at 77th Avenue, emergency equipment on the scene there of a first aid situation. And, of course, some road construction for you, this time along I-70 westbound between Chiposa and Hidden Valley, affecting various lanes there. Castrol GTX, the motor oil specially engineered for today's more complex, hotter running engines. Get Castrol GTX, the motor oil that is as advanced as your engine. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The investigation into the collapsed girder over I-70 on Saturday could take as much as a year. Colorado Governor Bill Owens today told reporters that while he believes there is an urgency for state and federal investigators, he also understands the quest for information is a slow process.
Some of the early questions will be, was the girder placed properly? Was it framed properly? But if the answer to both of those questions is yes, then you continue the process on a process of elimination, and we simply don't have those answers yet.
The 40-ton beam fell on an SUV Saturday morning, killing all 3 occupants of that vehicle. This report brought to you by Vista Ridge. The governor is also talking about special legislative sessions, and he says so far he hasn't decided whether to call a special session this year. Owens has until September to make a decision, and he says right now there's no hurry.
These things have to percolate for a while. They have to ripen. You have to have a lot of independent discussions, a little bit of movement. You have to let the process work for a while.
Lawmakers are hung up on 2 constitutional amendments, the Taxpayer Bill of Rights, which limits state spending, and Amendment 23, which requires yearly increases in education spending for grades K through 12. 9 News is reporting that the Equal Opportunity Commission has sent letters to former Home Depot employees saying that a class action lawsuit may be on the way against Home Depot. The potential lawsuit is based on allegations that the company has a hostile work environment with incidents of retaliation and alleged discrimination. Denver Water Water's 1.2 million customers can drink the water without worrying. The utility has passed all its tests for clean water. An annual report shows that Denver Water had no violations for the water quality last year. More than 40,000 tests were conducted on more than 11,000 samples. The University of Colorado Board of Regents is getting the final report today from the independent panel that's been investigating the recruiting scandal at the school. The Regents will review the 40 to 50 page report today, and that report should be available to the public on Wednesday. In sports, game four of the series between the Colorado Rockies and Philadelphia Phillies this afternoon at Coors Field. Sean Estes throws for the Rocks this afternoon while Randy Wolf takes the mound for Philly. Rockies have won only one of the first three games of that series. Vista Ridge, a great new family community, now offers everything from condominiums to single family to custom homes, just 20 minutes north of downtown. On the web at vistaridge.net. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is next. KNRC News Time is 12:05.
From the caucuses to the presidential election,
every vote counts.
We've got it covered. Your number one source for election 2004 information. Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Nothing beats a warm Colorado evening relaxing on the patio while something delicious sizzles on the barbecue. Is your patio furniture up to the test? Hi, this is Keith Lair with Lair Fireplace and Patio, inviting you to visit any of Lair's three beautiful metro area showrooms to see Colorado's best selection of quality wrought iron patio furniture from O.W. Lee. For three generations, the Lee family has been handcrafting fine wrought iron furniture that is not only beautiful, but built to last a lifetime. Hand-forged by skilled craftsmen with incredible attention to detail and design, O.W. Lee is quite simply the finest wrought iron furniture on the market today. Family owned and operated since 1954, Lair's is Denver's oldest, most trusted name in wrought iron furniture. Plus, we have the best selection of quality gas barbecue grills in the state. At Holly and Evans in Denver, 81st and Sheridan in Arvada, and just north of Arapahoe on Broadway in Littleton, there's a Lair's near you. For premium wrought iron furniture from O.W. Lee, it's Lair Fireplace and Patio.
Stephanie DeLuca with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Our clouds thickening up throughout the day today. Isolated afternoon storms, 68. Later on tonight, down to 47 with isolated evening storms. And tomorrow, our temperatures rise above average. 71 our average, getting up to 77. Mostly cloudy to start tomorrow, then partly cloudy with a chance of afternoon storms. And a warm one for Wednesday with more sun than clouds and a high of 85. For the Weather Channel, I'm Stephanie DeLuca on AM 1150, KNRC.
Cloudy and 67 now. KNRC News Time is 12:07. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 12:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150, KNRC.
From AM 1150, KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
12:07, 7 minutes after 12 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I am yours until 3 o'clock, and we have all kinds of things planned for you today. Giving away three pairs of tickets to Shrek 2, as a matter of fact. And I happened to be surfing one day, and I saw Shrek 1, and I thought, gosh, it was really great. Did you see it? I had seen the ads for it, and I don't know, I just couldn't bring myself to go see it. So I'm hoping that Shrek 2 is just as good. And the passes, each pass is good for two persons at any United Artists Theater. The shows have to be Monday through Thursday, so the weekends don't count. You can't use it on the weekend, and you can't use it on, say, Monday on a holiday. So if it happens that Memorial Day is on a Monday, your pass won't be good for that day, but you can, and you have to pick them up at the station. So what we will do is we will give away one pair per hour. So in this hour, we'll give away a pair of passes to Shrek 2 at any United Artists Theaters, and then hour 2 and also hour 3. So, and later on, we're going to be having Kent Harif on Thursday, follows up his bestseller Plain Song with a return to the fictional community of Holt, Colorado, as a setting for his new book, Eventide. And I believe on Friday, National Book Award winning author and historian Ron Chernow, his new book is a biography of Alexander Hamilton, and all kinds of things can happen between now and then. We leave it open because there's always breaking news, and we always want to be open. You know, we're always right on the breaking news button here, because we're doing guess what? News Talk. Okay, a couple of things that I want to bring you up to speed on. First of all, this is the 50th anniversary of Brown versus Board of Education. It opened the door to serious integration. There's some blacks, and I've seen coverage of it, who think maybe that wasn't the best idea in the world, but I think it's been a wonderful idea, and you may want to comment. 303-382-1150. And in addition, in Massachusetts, it's the first state that is allowing gay marriages. So on the civil rights front today, lots is going on. Couples who I saw, I was looking at a couple, two men. He's a rabbi, and I don't know what his partner does. And the rabbi said, I've always put my name on the bottom line of a marriage certificate, and now I get to be on the spouse line, and they were just elated. Also over the weekend in the Denver Post, covering ethical queries about Ben Nighthorse Campbell. Remember, I'm the one who said, I don't think he's leaving his Senate seat in a very tight election year, in a year in which the Senate really is very close to hanging in the balance because he's got acid reflux. Well, Mike Soran, who covers this sort of stuff, apparently has come to that conclusion, as he has in a series of pieces that he's done about Ben Nighthorse Campbell. The Post has, in the week since Ben Nighthorse Campbell revealed that his office was under a federal ethics investigation, some details about the Justice Department probe have surfaced, but the senator has refused to discuss the allegations. The Denver Post examination of Senate Ethics Committee letters and other documents shows that Campbell's office has repeatedly been questioned for suspected ethical lapses or conflict of interest allegations. None of the reviews resulted in criminal charges or sanctions. But in other words, this is not the first time it's happened. Among the issues the Post found in its review, Campbell or staffers in his office have been the subject of four ethics reviews during his two terms. There are discrepancies between answers Campbell gave to the Ethics Committee about his jewelry business and official documents he filed disclosing his personal finances. Now, he's somebody who's gotten a whole lot wealthier in office. And I don't think that the Senate pays that much, does it? So you can tell me how that magic happened so that we can all take a number, get in line, and do the same thing in our own lives. Ethics watchdogs say that Campbell's record presents a troubling trail of ethical red flags, although it doesn't rank among Congress's worst. Oh, well, there are worse ones. The senator disclosed a week ago that the Justice Department is investigating his office in connection with its handling of $1.15 million federal grant and an alleged kickback to his former chief of staff, Ginny Kotnick. Kotnick joined Campbell's office in 1993 as the Senate aide, making $38,000 a year. After Campbell left the Democratic Party to become a Republican in 1995, many staffers left, and Kotnick became his chief of staff. Kotnick quit in February, just before the Denver Post reported allegations that she had shaken down an underling for $2,000. Now, if you're going to shake somebody down, I'm going to ask you a question. If you're going to get a kickback, demand a kickback from an employee, and you could be the subject of a federal probe as a result of it, would you sell yourself out for as little as $2,000? Just a question. If you're going to go to the pokey over this, shouldn't it be for more than $2,000? 303-382-1150. 303-382-1150. For 12 years, Ginny Kotnick was a member of my staff whom I trusted to manage and oversee all day-to-day operations of my office. Ben Nighthorse Campbell wrote to the Ethics Committee, I'm deeply troubled by her actions and deem this at best a serious error in judgment. But early in her tenure, Campbell had warning signs. Kotnick's supervisor told Campbell in 1994 that Kotnick had misstated her previous experience to get more vacation time according to internal documents. Ooh, so there were some questions about Kotnick's, when she tells you something, whether or not you can take that to the bank. She says that, in any event, there's some disagreement about whether he say, she say on all of this. But Campbell also formally reprimanded Ginny Kotnick and another staff member for their roles in illegally flying a consultant to Washington using a congressional credit card to get a government discount. Campbell's wealth has grown during his time in Congress. Documents indicate that his handling of some of those finances during that time may have violated ethical rules. And before, it turns out that he filed some sort of forms, documents. He gave contradictory accounts of his involvement in his jewelry business that he created. Before he became a Maverick senator, he was already considered an innovative craftsman of American Indian jewelry. When he started out, I think his income was about $20,000 a year. He says he has no interest in the company, but in fact, if you looked at a different document, he says that his interest in the company is worth between $250,000 and $500,000. And his income from Night Horse Inc. that year was almost $274,000. He has nothing, although Senator Campbell, Campbell defended himself from charges of conflict of interest made in 1995 by telling ethics investigators that the jewelry firm was operated by his son, that he was not an officer or board member, and that he got no income from it. Now, this is interesting. He said he got no income from his jewelry business, and yet on a different form that he filed, he said he got $274,000 from his interest in the jewelry business that supposedly he got nothing from. These are two different sets of documents, and apparently, in a universe where in one keystroke you can access everybody's everything. Nobody was able to put those two together, but the Post was able to do it finally. So he is under investigation, and we'll see where that goes. Also, his incidental expenses, those outside the usual transportation, lodging, and meals, in Senate disbursement records are higher than those for any other senators. And he also won't put in from when he has to disclose what his worth is. He doesn't include the addresses of his properties, and that's a violation of the ethics rules. But in any event, these incidental expenses that senators get to bill for, Campbell's are among the highest. He reported almost $2,500 in incidentals from October of 2002 through September of 2003. During that same period, Senator Wayne Allard reported only roughly $35 in incidentals, none higher than $4. In one case, Ben Ninehorse Campbell had an incidental at about $440. So that's kind of interesting, too. So a lot of financial questions, about Ben Ninehorse Campbell beginning to surface here. Also, one of the things that we didn't have a chance to do because we did the show live from the press club, the Denver Press Club on Friday, was the Bishop of Colorado Springs. This is amazing to me. I would like to hear from those of you who are Catholic and those of you who are not and how you feel about this, but your communion is going to be tied to your politics. Not what you do. Did you have an abortion, for example? Did you get a divorce? Did you engage in stem cell research? No, not what you did. But you can't get communion. You cannot receive communion if you voted for a politician who supported abortion rights, who supported stem cell research, euthanasia, or gay marriage. You can't receive communion for that, according to the Bishop of Colorado Springs, Bishop Sheridan. His pastoral letter reaches 125,000 people. I don't understand this. Do you get to, if you are in favor of the death penalty, do you get to receive communion? If you support somebody who's in favor of the death penalty? The Pope, the Vatican, the Church was completely against going to war in Iraq. If you support anybody who supports the war, if you support the war, are you allowed to receive communion? How is the litmus test? What if you confess in your sins and then you'd get communion following? What if you support somebody who's been divorced or who had an extramarital affair? Or what if you had an extramarital affair or you're divorced or you had an abortion? I guess that's okay. But if you support a politician, then you can't receive communion. I think that that is horrible. And it's so clearly political. And I mean no disrespect to the church, but where does the litmus test end? Are you gay? Do you get to receive communion? Are you divorced? Have you had an abortion? Do you get to receive communion? I don't know that that's on the table. But if you support a politician, and what if you support a politician who changes his or her mind? Or they're going to expand, it looks like they're going to expand stem cell research. Nancy Reagan has written a letter urging Dickey to allow more stem cell research so people who have Alzheimer's can reap the benefit of it. I have, and again, let me give you my disclaimer. I was educated in part by Jesuits, so I have some conversancy with the Catholic Church and a great deal of respect for it. But not these kinds of letters. I have no respect for these kinds of letters. They're so blatantly political. It's so blatantly a power move. 303-382-1115. What does this have to do with the religion anyway? And especially in the face of the whole scandal of pedophile priests in the church, they better clean out their own house before they start telling you how you're supposed to, what politicians you can and cannot support, because then you cannot receive communion. And it turns out that Archbishop LePew here in Denver wrote a really snotty letter to an appellate court judge from Illinois, who was in charge of a committee looking into how to, you know, continue the solid reporting on what church bishops and what church priests are doing in order to prevent any of those pedophile priest sorts of scandals or the sexual scandals that plague the church. 303-382-1150. There is one line open. Go for it, somebody. Todd, calling from Littleton. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hey, where's my kiss? I'm a first-time caller.
You are? Well, wait a minute. Welcome.
Well, back to the church.
Well, you know what, Todd? You now cannot receive communion.
Well, here's the deal. I agree with this. If you don't go to confession every 2 weeks, you're not supposed to get communion. And if you're taking birth control, you're not supposed to go to communion. Right?
Well, I don't know. You have to tell me that.
Yeah, that's the truth. If you're taking birth control because you're kicking the Holy Spirit out of the bedroom, if you don't go to confession at least every two weeks, don't go to communion. Okay, now we got to.
But does anybody really, do people really check, or is it the honor system and you're...
Well, to be real honest, I think that the confession is probably the best part. I think the confession next to the communion is probably the best part. But, you know, we've got...
What do you mean that what do you mean it's the best part? It's the best part for you, the parishioner, because you feel...
Well, it's not the best part for me, the parishioner, but it's kind of like working out. It's really good for you to spill it truthfully, you know, to tell the truth and stuff and the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Oh, no, I agree with that.
Okay, but now we got a governor who doesn't live with his wife. He's got a child somewhere out there. He's not raising that child. He's got two children. He's not living at home with them. The Catholic Church is quiet about that.
Wait. Now, I got to stop you. Are you talking about the rumors of his having an illegitimate child?
Well, sweetie, I wish it was a rumor, but...
Okay. Wait, you know for sure? If you know for sure, bring me a birth certificate, because we don't have any proof, but we've heard the rumors.
Yeah, there's proof. The Catholic Church knows there's proof. That child's been baptized.
How do you know? What proof do you have? Someone told you.
Yes, and I saw his wife cry, and yeah, no, it's not.
No, you have to do better than that. You got to bring me some proof about it.
No, I'm not going to. Listen, I like you a lot, but I'm not going to embarrass his wife. I think she's a stand-up lady.
You don't, yeah, but you don't know. You only heard it from somebody else, just like everybody else has heard it from everybody else, and it's already a feedback loop. It may be true, and it may not be true, but in fairness to him, we got to see a birth certificate.
Sweetie, I don't know the world is round, but I just take everybody's word for it, but you're right. But the second thing is that Giuliani was living with his girlfriend in the governor's mansion. Nobody said nothing about that.
I don't think he was living with her in the mansion. I think the wife, Donna Hanover, was living in the mansion, but there was no question that he was, he and the girlfriend were canoodling in various locations.
No, sweetie, his wife actually asked. She goes, don't bring your girlfriend anymore to the governor's palace. I don't want that anymore. It's embarrassing for me.
All right, so what's your point?
Well, Catholic Church is quiet about that. Catholic Church is quiet about Romer. If there's a book called Trinity, in Trinity, the Irish are always going, hey, we got to battle the English, and the Catholic Church is right under the thumb of the English. Well, the Catholic Church in this state is right under the thumb of the Republicans. It's a swing state. It's going to really come close. How are you going to do it? You're going to lose a lot of older Catholics that feel guilty just to pull a few votes, and it's a dishonest. It hurts.
I think it's very political, and I agree with you. I think it's very dishonest. Oh. Thanks, Todd, for calling 303-382-1150. Joan in Fort Collins. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Boy, I should not have been taking communion for a long time. Boy, I am really... Really a bad Catholic. You know, I'm a practicing Catholic, and I'm proud to be Catholic. But, you know, the Archbishop is not going to be getting my pledge to his fund, because I don't appreciate anybody telling me how to vote. And
are you in his jurisdiction in Fort Collins?
Yes.
You are?
Uh-huh.
Yep. Are you going to write him a letter saying how you feel about his letter?
Yeah, when they send me, you know, the reminder of the $200 that we had pledged, I'm going to write back and say, you know what, I decided to donate this to John Kerry's campaign. because...
Are you ever going to be able to receive communion again?
I have been receiving communion, and I will continue, and, you know...
Can they turn you down if you sign your name and the priest recognizes that... implicit threats. All these pastoral letters are all filled with implicit threats. In a private letter made public by the newspaper National Catholic Reporter, Chaput and his assistant, Bishop Jose Gomez, castigated Ann Burke, interim chairman of the National Review Board for the Protection of Young People. Chaput and Gomez addressed the board's claim that bishops held back information and manipulated the board for public relations reasons. The dispute centers on whether to move ahead with a second annual analysis of whether U.S. diocese, the I'm having a hard time pronouncing it, dioceses, you'll have to tell me how to do that, the plural of diocese, are meeting requirements established by bishops 2 years ago in Dallas in response to the mushrooming priest sex abuse scandals. In reaction to the lay board's concerns, the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops agreed to discuss a second national audit during closed-door prayer retreat in Denver next month. The exchange is another example of the rift occasionally seen between lay board members and Catholic prelates unaccustomed to opening their business to outside eyes. A letter signed by Ms. Burke on behalf of the board was sent to Bishop Gregory, president of the U.S. Bishops Conference. A letter, one of several released by the National Catholic Reporter, said that putting off a second review of dioceses might stymie the work of the Dallas Charter. Burke, who is an Illinois State appellate court judge, wrote that the 13-member board is very disheartened by this apparent decision to go back to business as usual, and that delays would vindicate those who said that the bishops were never serious about breaking free from the sins, crimes, and bad judgments of the past. We believe that the work we have accomplished these past 22 months is perceived by the bishops as having successfully deflected extensive national criticism, the board wrote. In effect, they have dodged the bullet, and they're anxious to put these matters behind them. But in a responding letter, April 2, to this appellate court judge in Illinois, Chaput and Gomez wrote that her letter, quote, assumes the worst motives on the part of bishops despite the progress that has already been made. Your language is designed to offend and contains implicit threats that are, to put it mildly, inappropriate for anyone of your professional stature. Ooh, so a snotty letter from the archbishop to this appellate court judge. And the appellate court judge is part of a lay board of people examining the sexual abuse scandal having to do with the clergy in the church and trying to put it right. So the archbishop is getting bent out of shape. And again, he and the bishop of Colorado Springs seem to be on kind of the same page, although as far as I know, Chaput has not put out a pastoral letter the way that Bishop Sheridan has. If you support any politician who supports abortion rights, stem cell research, euthanasia, or gay marriage, you cannot receive Holy Communion. Now, if you ask them if that's political, they tell you it's not. So don't you think that's kind of dishonest? 303-382-1150. And don't you think that the clergy should be held to a higher standard than the rest of us poor, sinning, dishonest souls? And what about gay marriage? If you vote for anybody who supports gay marriage, that's it. You don't get communion. But what about the death penalty? That's not mentioned here. What about the war against Iraq? The church has been against both, very, very vociferously against both. But that's not mentioned here. So this is clearly tailored for a very tight senatorial race, or what's perceived to be a tight senatorial race, I think, in Colorado in a very tight election year. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Rush, rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Noodles & Company. Soup, salads, and noodle bowls. Sautéed fresh, served fresh as you like it. A place to take your time if you have it or grab your dish to go. Noodles & Company.
Okay, people. First action item, the hallways. To avoid hallway collisions, we're instituting a new policy. From now on, no employee is to walk faster than 2 miles per hour. And at hallway intersections, everyone will come to a complete stop. You will notice we've also placed yellow and black hazard tape in the more troublesome areas. To assist in the transition, we've hired 2 veteran crossing guards, Murray and Vincent.
May we suggest a better way to prevent workplace injuries? For over 90 years, Liberty Mutual has developed smart, real-world solutions to help prevent injuries, keep employees safer, and preserve your bottom line. Last year alone, our innovative program saved clients over $100 million.
Okay, then. Next topic, stapler safety.
To discover how we can help make your workplace safer and improve your bottom line, visit libertymutual.com. Liberty Mutual, it's more than insurance. It's insurance in action.
Achoo! Taking prescription allergy medication but not getting all the relief you need? You need Benadryl Allergy, proven better than the leading prescription allergy medicine. Medical studies prove histamine-blocking Benadryl is more effective at relieving your worst allergy symptoms, like runny nose, sneezing, itchy nose, and watery eyes. So now you know. Benadryl, more effective than the leading prescription allergy medicine.
Use as directed, based on Benadryl Allergy 50 mg dose 3 times daily. Over the last 5 years, U.S. prescription antihistamine data.
KNRC and the Denver Business Journal present Insights, fascinating people making an impact on our world. Sponsored by EKSNH Accounting Firm and First National Bank of Colorado. Now, today's Insights. Mike Duffy is President and CEO of Paymentech on how innovative and well-managed payment options can help a company weather hard times by building trust with customers.
If a business handles the financial transaction right the first time, it's actually the best way to help retain customers in a down economy and encourage subsequent purchases. One of the quickest ways to create ill will with a customer is to negatively impact them financially. What we try to do is introduce alternative methods of payments and other methods of payments, such as stored value cards, electronic checks, bill me later type payments. And what we're trying to do is capture whatever payment the consumer may have in the wallet, whether that wallet be physical or virtual. In the past, we helped make installment billing and buy now, pay later household terms. When these payment alternatives were introduced, our clients saw a definite sales lift from their existing customer base, and Paymentech was able to process the incremental financial transactions. It was a win-win-win. The consumer will always remember how easy it was to buy from that merchant and how convenient, secure, and reliable it was. That kind of proposition is like gold, whether it's a down economy or the best of times.
Insights is brought to you by EKSNH Accounting Firm and First National Bank of Colorado. Look for Insights featured in the Denver Business Journal and at knrcradio.com.
Enid Goldstein.
Let's see what all the excitement is about.
Middays at noon.
Now, what in the world is wrong with that?
On AM 1150 KNRC. KNRC.
12:57 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and I promised you a set of tickets. So if you are the third caller, you get a set of tickets, one pair of tickets. You have to come here to pick them up to Shrek 2, any United Artists Theater. But it's not on the weekends, Monday through Thursday, and not holiday. So if it's Memorial Day where it is on a Monday, the tickets aren't good, but we're going to give away a pass, which will entitle two people to go see Shrek 2 at any United Artists Theater. You be the third caller right now, 303-382-1150, and you have to be able to pick these up also at the station. And we are located above the old Spaghetti Factory at 18th and Lawrence. And if you need information on times and locations, visit uatc.com, uatc.com. And it's I saw Shrek 1 just by mistake because I was surfing. And wow, was it! It was so witty. It was so good. And I think we have a winner. So whoever it is, congratulations. I'm getting a bunch of emails from people. Let's see. This is from Enid. This is from Tom. Tom says, my mother's a devout Catholic who's not missed Sunday Mass in years. Yesterday, she refused to attend Mass due to the Archbishop's call not to vote for candidates who are pro-choice. She feels that the church is very hypocritical, especially after the recent sex abuse scandals. And then here's another email, and this one is from Roy. Roy says, you don't have to worry about not trying to disrespect the Catholic Church because I have enough contempt right now to go around for everyone. My 83-year-old mom, who has been a devout Catholic all her life, is so mad she's taking the church out of her will. One of my good friends sent a letter to our illustrious bishop and told him that from now on, any money that was going he was going to be giving to the church is now going to the Democratic National Committee. At church yesterday, I debated about not going to communion out of protest, as did many others, and we were laughing and waiting for the bolt of lightning to come down on us, but I'm still here. On the one hand, I just want to walk away from the church and never go back, but then these jerks would win, and I'd rather stay around and fight them and be a total pain in the behind to them. Keep up the good work. Your show is the best And it's signed Roy. Thank you, Roy. Two more hours of Enid right here on AM 1150 KNRC. Don't go anywhere because we have to talk about Colin Powell exiting abruptly from Meet the Press. We got to talk about Cy Hirsch's extraordinary new revelations in The New Yorker about the interrogation tactics. I'm Enid Goldstein.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 1 o'clock.
Fox News Radio, I'm Uma Pemaraju. A brazen car bomb attack in Baghdad, killing a key member of the fight for democracy in Iraq.
Now, 9 Iraqis dying instantly, including the head of the Iraqi Governing Council, Isadine Salim, the second highest ranking member to be murdered on that U.S. appointed council.
Fox's Orlando Salinas. Back here at home, the gay marriage debate. Gay couples tying the knot today in Massachusetts. It's now legal to wed in that state. Fox's Allison Camerata has more in Boston.
One of the first couples in line in Boston was Julie and Hillary Goodridge. They're the lesbian couple who launched this entire landmark event.
President Bush in a statement calling on Congress to protect marriage as husband and wife. Bill Janklow out of jail. The former South Dakota congressman has served his 100-day prison term for the 2003 accident that killed a motorcyclist. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for Journalistic Excellence, including Best Newscast. Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Cloudy, 68 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. Investigators continue trying to figure out what caused Saturday's fatal girder collapse. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Freeway traffic continues to move along in very good shape right now as we sort of wind down the main part of the rush hour. Off the freeways, though, it's a little different story. Alameda in Dayton, an injury accident involving a car and a pedestrian. Jasmine in 33rd Avenue in East Denver, a report of a structure fire. Disabled vehicle coming in at Pena Boulevard and Tower Road. Let's see here, what else have we got for you? Also, a fire alarm coming in Red Rocks Community College. Emergency equipment responding in there. And we also have a little bit of slowing left over northbound on Kipling approaching 48th Avenue after an earlier stall. Give your family a high-quality meal with Tyson. Tyson's hickory and fully cooked bacon are slow-smoked with natural hickory wood, so they taste great. Pick up some Tyson bacon tonight. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Officials from CDOT, Jeffco, and the NTSB are conducting an in-depth look into what caused a girder from the C-470 overpass to collapse onto I-70 on Saturday, killing three people who were in an SUV passing underneath. Colorado Governor Bill Owens says at this point, state and federal investigators have more questions than answers.
It has frankly baffled the experts so far. We've had state, federal experts on the scene. You've had people from the construction industry on the scene. And at this point, we don't know what happened.
Owen says that while he realizes there is an urgency for investigators, he also understands that it's a slow process. The governor says the investigation may take up to a year. This report brought to you by Subway. The governor says that he still hasn't decided yet whether to call a special legislative session this year. Governor Owen says that he'll wait to make a decision on a special session, but he won't wait long.
If, in fact, we go into special session, would hope to see it sooner rather than later. We have until actually September to put something on the ballot. I would not expect it would take that long.
The big holdup for lawmakers is the conflict between Tabor and Amendment 23. The Taxpayer Bill of Rights limits state spending, while Amendment 23 mandates increased spending for education in grades K through 12 on an annual basis. A woman is in custody in connection with a double shooting early this morning. Englewood police say they received a 911 call from a cell phone just before 5. Neighbors, like Jim Davis's sister, said they heard several shots.
Her and her husband heard three or four gunshots early in the morning, and her husband looked out and saw somebody running from the house.
One man is dead, another in serious condition at Swedish Hospital. 24-year-old Teresa Spitz turned herself in and is currently being held pending charges. According to investigators, Spitz is requesting an attorney. Police say at this point they're not certain what charges she may face. Two eighth-grade girls from Arvada's Oberon Middle School have decided not to take out their nose piercings, meaning they'll have to continue taking their classes in the principal's office. The school's dress code forbids piercings except in students' ears. The girls are planning planning to go to Arvada High next year, where the piercings are allowed. So for the next couple of weeks, they'll have to finish their classes in the office. In sports, the Colorado Rockies and Philadelphia Phillies meet for the final game of their four-game series this afternoon at Coors Field. Phillies have won two of their first three games of the series. Sean Estes is climbing the hill for the Rockies this afternoon, while Philly sends out Randy Wolf. Go to Subway today and get your coupon for a Six Flags Elitch Gardens adult ticket for the same prices as a kid's ticket. That's a $16 savings. Eat fresh at Subway and go play at Six Flags Elitch Gardens. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 105.
No matter how you say it, it is what we do best. This is Denver's premier talk station, AM 1150, KNRC.
I just found the greatest place to shop with the most unbelievably low prices on department store clothing, shoes, accessories, gift items, cosmetics.
Bob, where? Would you tell me where?
That's Evelinda Ehrman, and I'm Judy Schwartz. Just because we co-host Style Matters Live, does that mean I have to share every new shopping tip with you? Can't I have a secret? Go outside. I'm only telling the listeners.
Yeah.
Two crazy ladies near I-25 and 58th liquidates brand-name clothing at 60% or more off original prices. Two crazy ladies has suits, dressy dresses, casual wear, children's clothing, menswear, and more. If you love great bargains, this has to become one of your regular stops. Two crazy ladies, 5686 Logan Court, Suite F, near 58th and I-25, 303-298-8589.
I heard everything you said, and I'm on my way to Two Crazy Ladies.
Two Crazy Ladies, 303-298-8589. Helping clothe the world on reasonable terms.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. Warmer air will be building in across the listening area over the next several days. There's a slight chance that we could see an isolated severe thunderstorm as we head from afternoon into evening, topping out around 68 for the high today. Look for some partial clearing overnight tonight with a low of 47. Sunshine and 77 on Tuesday and 86 for the high on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Cloudy and 68 now. KNRC News Time is 107. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 1:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
107, 7 minutes after 1 o'clock. Welcome to Hour 2 of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Did you watch Meet the Press or Meet the Depressed over the weekend? Secretary of State Colin Powell was abruptly cut off during an interview with Tim Russert when one of his aides decided that the interview had gone on long enough. Somebody said that, you could hear the audio. You could hear something going on. As Tim Russert, the program's host, began to ask his final question, the camera unexpectedly panned away from Colin Powell, who was being interviewed in Jordan via satellite. In his confusion, Powell could be heard saying, "He's still asking me questions," to which a woman's voice answered, "No, he's not." Powell, still off camera, said, "Tim, I'm sorry I lost you," and added, "Emily, get out of the way." Tim Russert, slightly irate, responded, "I think that was one of your staff, Mr. Secretary. I don't think that's appropriate." After a few seconds, the camera returned to Powell, and he finished the interview. The show's producer identified the staff member as Emily Miller, deputy press secretary to Colin Powell, and said that Ms. Miller pulled the plug without warning. Although the interview was taped in advance, she said such interviews are usually run without being edited. Russert called it a case of press management gone berserk. He said, "I've been doing this program for 13 years, and nothing like that has ever happened. I remember sometimes in countries around the world this happens, but not in America. This is a free press, and political figures can always say, 'I don't want to answer.'" He said he did not know if it was the content of the question that caused Miller's reaction or simply that the interview had gone over its allotted time. A State Department spokeswoman said that the interview had gone on considerably longer than scheduled and that the personnel there made every attempt to get NBC to finish up. That's their explanation for it. You want to comment about that? Did anybody see that particular part of Meet the Press? 303-382-1150, 303-382-1150. Sounds really unprofessional to me. I want to congratulate Cheryl from Denver. She won a pair of tickets to Shrek 2, and we have two more pairs to give away, and we'll be doing that one every hour, one pair. So in this hour, we'll give away a pair, and in the next hour, you can use them at any United Artists theaters. You just have to do it Monday through Thursday. They're not good for holidays or weekends, and you have to pick them up at the station, and we are located at 18th and Lawrence, right above the old Spaghetti Factory. What we've been talking about is the Bishop of Colorado Springs. Bishop Sheridan sends a pastoral letter out to 125,000 parishioners, telling them that they cannot receive communion if they vote for politicians who support abortion rights, stem cell research, euthanasia, or gay marriage. In addition, the Vatican is warning Catholics against marrying Muslims. The Vatican warned Catholic women. They didn't warn Catholic men. They warned Catholic women on Friday to think hard before marrying a Muslim and urged Muslims to show more respect for human rights, gender equality, and democracy, calling women the least protected member of the Muslim family. It spoke of the bitter experience Western Catholics had with Muslim husbands, especially if they married outside the Islamic world and later moved to his country of origin. The Church hopes that Muslims will show a growing awareness that fundamental liberties, the inviolable rights of the person, the equal dignity of man and woman, the democratic principle of government, and the healthy lay character of the states are principles that cannot be surrendered. When a Catholic woman and a Muslim man want to marry, the Vatican said, bitter experience teaches us that a particularly careful and in-depth preparation is called for. It said that one possible problem was with Muslim in-laws and advised future mothers that they must insist on church policy that children born of a mixed marriage be baptized and brought up as Catholics. You may wish to comment about that. 303-382-1150. Well. Some new news, some new polls, some new information, and here is some of it. Newsweek is reporting that the political fallout from what's going on in Iraq has resulted in the lowest approval ratings for George Bush ever. He is now, I think both Zogby and Newsweek poll. In the latest Newsweek poll, Dickey's overall job approval rating, a key indicator of his chances in November, has fallen to, now it was 46% the last I saw, has fallen to 42%, the lowest of his tenure. Only 30% of voters say that they are satisfied with the way things are going in the country. Even Bush's ratings for handling the Iraq war, once a strength, have fallen. His ratings for handling the Iraq war have fallen to a dismal 35%. So 42% approval ratings, how he's handled the war, 35%. And everything else, he's done even worse than that. So here's what Newsweek is also reporting. That every decision Dickey has made has always been whatever his father did. He's tried to do the exact opposite, except that when his father was in trouble politically, what did his father do? He brought his wife on board. She began to make a lot of campaign appearances. Barbara Bush, the Silver Fox, one of Dickey's biographers calls her a real piece of work. So she's not the homespun grandmother that she appears to be. Laura Welch, Bush, in other words, Dickey's wife, in 26 years of marriage, has been described as both a balance wheel and a panic button, never comfortable, all in private, but not very comfortable as a public figure. But as the campaign is heating up and her husband's poll numbers are dropping, she is moving to center stage and closer to the role once played by Barbara Bush. Laura Bush is making the television rounds. She's going to be on The Tonight Show this week. Dealing with all kinds of touchy topics, including the prisoner abuse scandal, the gruesome photos from the Iraqi prison Abu Ghraib. She said on Good Morning America, must be countered by the real picture of America, a picture that campaign officials believe she is the one who can paint. She's featured in a new internet ad on education, and there are likely to be more spots to come with her as a star. She is the most effective spokesman for the president, said a White House aide. The scandal and the low approval ratings, interestingly enough, for Dickey and Cheney, for the two Dicks, has not raised the standing of John Kerry. The race remains a statistical dead heat. But the Kerry campaign is noting that $65 million worth of GOP attack ads hasn't crippled their man. In fact, everybody's spots are like matchsticks blown away in a media hurricane of war and scandal. Bush's supporters include Pat Robertson, who in January said that he'd received a tip. He said, I think George Bush is going to win in a walk, he said, on the 700 Club. I really believe I'm hearing from the Lord. It's going to be like a blowout election in 2004, said Pat Robertson. Of course, Robertson got a similar tip about President Bush in 1992, and we all know what happened to him then. 303-382-1150. Mike, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon, Enid. I did want to make one comment. I was watching the interview with Colin Powell yesterday, and his reaction was one of frustration and almost anger. I think Colin Powell is probably the only credible person left in...
I don't think he's credible anymore. I really think he whored himself out. When he stood up there and he knew that there was the skimpiest of intelligence, and you couldn't even call it intelligence. It's too stupid to have been intelligence. And he knew it, and he put his maximum credibility on the line there.
Enid, he addressed that on that interview yesterday and admitted that he was wrong. But, you know, the question is on him being cut off. He was apologetic.
He allowed. Listen, it's his deputy press secretary, so he didn't. He can overrule her.
Well, sure he can.
He let himself be led around by the nose, just like he let the administration lead him around by the nose. He's the one person in the administration whose approval ratings are higher than anybody else's. Who, if he had stood up to say, and he knew, it isn't that he didn't find out until later. He knew that the evidence was complete BS. He knew it, and he still went forward with it. Now, I don't have the same amount of respect for Colin Powell that I once did. 303-382-1150. Don, in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
How you doing, Enid?
Doing well, Don.
Hey, if I could just piggyback on your last conversation, I think Colin Powell, man, has put himself in a situation where he's just a modern-day, like, house Negro, I'm not going to say the other word, but, you know, anytime a deputy somebody under you can pull the plug on your speech shows you the type of respect that they have for a black man in that position of power.
No, I don't think it's that he isn't respected and doesn't have the respect that position and his own career demands. I think he let himself be led by a deputy press secretary. He could have overruled her and said, hey, you know what? Guess what? It's my call. It's not yours. So I'm not going with a racial theme there. 303-382-1150. Bob, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid on AM 1150. Hi, Bob.
I, for the first time, encountered some people that made me, I'm very conservative. I've called you before. It made me think, I can understand where you come from. I went to a born-again Christian group meeting this week. They invited me to come out because I'm against legislating morality. And the responses that I got, that there were lots of people in the crowd who thought that homosexuals should be, that the death penalty for homosexuality, the death penalty for viewing pornography, the death penalty for adultery. And
you want to know something, Bob? There wouldn't be anybody alive.
Well, I totally agree with you. I'm totally against these people. They vote Republican. I'll say they do vote, and I am a Republican. And I stood in the room and I thought to myself, this is the extreme of my party. These people are nuts. Now, that's not to say that I haven't been in a room full of liberals that their extremism isn't just as crazy and disgusting. And you know, when I hear, you know, you go back, the result, the end state of why I vote Republican and why I think George Bush is the guy to go for is because I believe the overall goal of the Republican Party is to reduce the size of the federal government and its influence in life.
Well, Bob, if that's the overall goal of the Republican Party, how is it that President Bush, Dickie, has created the largest new single bureaucracy with the Department of Homeland Security? He has, in fact, increased the size of federal government, where Clinton, interestingly enough, really shaved the size down.
Yeah.
How can you continue to vote for Bush when he has increased federal government? He has not made it smaller.
Well, because I know that that the establishment of the Homeland Security thing is in response to a genuine threat to America.
No, he was against it. It was in response to a political threat. Lieberman and some... You're absolutely wrong about that. Lieberman and some other Democrats were in favor of it, and he realized that he had to do a 180, and that's what he did. He was against doing it. It has been called a large kind of a bureaucratic boondoggle, and the most we've gotten out of this Department of Homeland Security so far is get yourself a tarp and some duct tape, and that's what's going to protect you from terrorism. So I don't know how you can continue to justify voting for Dickey.
Well, I know.
Look at the economy. Look at how Iraq is unraveling. He's made the federal government larger. The tax deficits are horrendous, and we don't have money really to protect ourselves. There's very little that's been implemented in the Gary Hart Rudman report. Our first responders are over in Iraq, leading Iraqis apparently on leashes. So I don't know, what are the reasons for voting? Tell me again why you think you want to vote for Dickey again for another 4 years?
All right, I'll explain it. There is a genuine threat to America. That threat to America is the Taliban and is extreme Islam, okay, which is no different than the people I ran into yesterday. Okay, this group I was telling you about. The only difference between the two groups is one has the Bible in their hand and one has the Quran in their hand. Okay, and they're just as big a threat to freedom.
So how has Dickey made the country safer when our first responders are over there and when we're fighting an irrelevant war and we're drained in terms of lives over there and resources?
I mean, I hear what you say.
So how can you justify a vote?
Well, because Kerry's viewpoint on the issue is to do nothing about it.
That's not true.
And the other thing about Kerry...
That's not true. Kerry is a decorated war veteran, and Dickey, your guy Dickey, couldn't wait to... Not only did he duck into the National Guard, but he could barely show up for that either.
Jump from topic to topic. I'm talking about response to the Taliban.
And how have we... And how, again, have we made this country safer in the tenure of George W. Dickey Bush?
Because there are Marines over there right now, okay, that are putting the heat on the Middle East and that extreme Islam culture.
And we're really doing really, really well in Iraq right now, are we, Bob?
I don't know that we're doing well. We're doing the best we can. I mean, that's a tough place to do well in. I mean, you don't...
Well, wait a minute. I'm scratching my head here. Let me see if I've got this right. Our first responders, a lot of our firemen, our policemen, men and women, are now in a national reserve. They have been stretched very thin. We don't have their benefit of their services here. We don't have these firemen and policemen who are now over in Iraq with way longer tours of duty than they thought they were signing on for. So we don't have their services as firemen, as policemen, and we don't have them on the weekends here in case anything did happen to us. In the meantime, we're losing lives like crazy over there. It's costing a fortune over there. The White House has finally admitted there is no relationship between Iraq and 9/11. Saddam Hussein was effectively contained. The White House told us, well, weapons of mass destruction, couldn't find any. They told us, well, if we go after those two hideous sons, Uday and Qusay, well, that'll do it. It'll settle down. That didn't happen. Well, if we get Saddam, we got Saddam, nothing happened. It got worse. It got worse. It became the recruiting poster for every kind of jihad in the world. That's what happened. And as far as Dickey reducing the size of government, those two dicks running the White House, little Dickey and big Dick, the bureaucracy has increased. The deficit is increased. The price of gas, have you tried to buy any gas lately, too? $2 for the lowest price gas that you can find, and then it goes up from there. Maybe it'll be close to $3 as we get closer to the election, unless their good friends, the Saudis, can do something in a pinch to help them out. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
She's your midday rush alternative. Enid Goldstein on AM 1150, KNRC. Enid Goldstein, KNRC.
We have to talk.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. Tune in Tuesdays and Thursdays at 4:55 as I discuss financial issues of the week with Willis Ashby of Integra Financial, right here on AM 1150 KNRC.
WB2. Tonight on WB2 News at 9. Childhood. A time to have fun, to laugh, to play, to just be a kid. But now kids are overscheduled and stressed. They don't have time to eat or sleep.
In some ways, their lifestyle seems to kind of take on a mirror image of the parents' lifestyle.
Is their childhood being taken away from them?
I like doing extra activities. It's just really tough to do.
Find out why kids are growing up too fast tonight on WB2 News at 9.
Hi, I'm Tom Green.
And I'm Natalie Tisdow. Whether you're an early riser or you like to sleep late,
WB2 Morning News is there for you.
Every weekday between 5:30 and 9, get your news, weather, and traffic from WB2 Morning News.
We have Denver's most local news in the morning.
Tuesday, from grills to gazebos, we'll show you how to turn your backyard into a paradise in our Spring into Summer series.
Plus, get a better beach body. A former Bronco cheerleader shows us how.
So join us for WB2 Morning News tomorrow between 5:30 and 9.
Because your time counts.
Businesses know it. Employers love it.
How valuable is a graduate degree from the Daniels College of Business?
When I graduated, I knew I could accomplish anything.
Graduates from the Daniels College of Business at the University of Denver are in higher demand than ever because Daniels is the only Colorado graduate degree program ranked by the Wall Street Journal as one of the world's best.
Having the Daniels name behind you, it certainly will help securing an excellent opportunity.
But hurry. Because of the overwhelming response, we have extended the application deadline for a short time.
I found the application process to be very easy. I completed my application in one day over the internet.
Apply today, and our admissions counselors will fast-track your application.
I was assigned a graduate admissions advisor who walked me through the process and was there every step of the way.
You may even be eligible for a merit scholarship or a GMAT prep voucher. Call 303-871-3416 or visit us online at daniels.du/fall.
I would say, go for it. Do it.
The Denver Film Society is proud to present the Americana Film Series at the Stars Film Center, featuring great Americana films through the summer. Starting with American Graffiti on Thursday, May 20th, award-winning Denver playwright and director Terry Dodd is your host for this Americana film classic. The film starts at 7, and tickets will be available at the Stars Film Center box office for American Graffiti, part of the Americana Film Series from the Denver Film Society.
I'm Nanette Hansen, CNBC Business Radio. Stocks continue to tumble on Wall Street with about 40 minutes left until the closing bell. The Dow Industrials off by nearly 90 points. The Nasdaq down by 20. The death of the head of Iraq's governing council in a car bombing is helping drive stocks down. Gas prices, well, they're still on the rise. Nationwide, the average cost of a gallon of regular is up 2.5 cents to $1.82. But making a call over the internet just got cheaper. Vonage is lowering its price on unlimited calling in the U.S. and Canada from $39.99 a month to $29.99. The company under pressure from AT&T and cable TV providers, which are also introducing voice over internet service. Despite rising mortgage interest rates, the National Association of Home Builders says builder confidence is unchanged from April's strong reading. And you ever wonder if that full-bodied wine will leave you in similar shape? Well, some wineries are out with new labels showing how many carbs are in your favorite Chardonnay. I'm Nanette Hansen, CNBC Business Radio.
My name is Kathy, and I met my husband Michael at eHarmony.com.
My name is Gina, and I met my husband Tom through eHarmony.com.
My name's Jennifer, and I met my husband Jack on eHarmony.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. These are just a few of the hundreds of eHarmony marriages. Dating services give you a picture in a paragraph. We go a lot deeper. We start with a personality profile that features 29 dimensions of compatibility, crucial to a long-term relationship. And if you go to eHarmony.com right now, we'll give you this $40 profile free. And then we'll find you a soulmate based on compatibility in the most important areas of life. Visit eHarmony.com today. Get your free personality profile.
My name is Becky, and I met my husband, Tom, on eHarmony.com.
A lot of happy guys out there tonight, thanks to eHarmony.com.
I want to be a talk host on the radio.
A talk host on the radio.
Go ahead. It's okay to pretend you're behind the mic. Hear our American Talk Idol, Saturdays and Sunday nights, exclusively on AM 1150 KNRC.
If you want to join the show, then get it off your chest. But listening to my voice is what I like the best. I want to be a talk host on the radio.
On the radio.
American Talk Idol, Saturdays and Sunday nights, AM 1150 KNRC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
128 on the Monday edition of Enid Live, and I see it's a slightly less gray out. Looks like there's a little bit of sun in glorious Lodo today. And here's what we're talking about. We're talking about why anybody would want to vote for Bush. His approval numbers are the absolute lowest, and so what he's doing is what he always does, is hiding behind a woman's skirts, whether it's Karen's or whether it's his wife, and they're sending Laura out on the campaign trail. She's going to be on The Tonight Show this week to talk about everything that's going on because her numbers are good, and they're hoping that she can rescue his presidency. In the meantime, the New Yorker magazine, Seymour Hirsch, who won a Pulitzer for his My Lai reporting in Vietnam and who has been the one in a series of two and now the third chapter of these stories of what's going on in terms of our interrogation techniques and what's going on in the prisons in Iraq and what we're doing. Oh, don't ask. This is, you know what, hitting the fan, and I will share it with you as we continue. 303-382-1150. Annie, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hello?
Hi, Annie. Welcome.
Hi, Enid. I'm glad to get to talk to you.
You're a first-time caller?
Yeah.
All right. Wait a minute. We have a kiss for you.
I've sent you lots of emails.
Well, I'm sure I've received them all.
Well, you sent me a thank you for sticking up for you. And was it Numbnuts Levin or the other one that was criticizing you?
Oh. Well, thank you.
Anyway,
thank you for sticking up for me. Yeah.
About the boycott, the gas boycott that's supposed to take place on the 19th of May.
I've been hearing about that. Is that a legit deal? And what if you do boycott for one day so everybody will be buying gas the day before or the day after? What's the
deal? Well, but one day is enough to cause them a lot of grief in their bookkeeping, back up their oil supplies, their gas supplies, apparently. But like they say, if it doesn't get accomplished on that day, we can go and do it another day, like once
a month. All right, so what's the point of a gas strike on the 19th of what, of May?
I don't know.
Is it just in
that day, but they've done enough research to realize how much money would be lost to them and how much oil and gas supplies would be built up, would back their system up. And I will send you the email. I don't know if you received one or not, but I will send you the email that I've been getting.
Well, I got one from somebody that's making the rounds of the net. But what is the point? Who are we trying to get back at? The oil companies?
No, Bush and the Arabs promised that they were going to reduce the cost of the barrels of oil, right?
And yeah, as it gets closer to the election.
Well, they promised they were going to do it sooner. It was on the news last week. They were going to do it sooner than that, and they haven't come through with that. It's like every other promise that Bush and his buddies make. They never come through with any of it.
Well, I don't know if you saw Paul Krugman's column in the New York Times on Friday, but he says don't look for prices to go down anytime soon. And, in fact, they may very well go up because a couple of things, several factors are at play at the same time. And that is you have a burgeoning, really blossoming, the one place in the universe where it is just going full tilt. Development is going full tilt and everything else is China. So suddenly all these people in this, you know, massively populated country are driving, and the demand for oil there and for gas is enormous.
Uh-huh.
There are not much in the way of reserves, and so that added demand plus not much in the way of reserves means that we are not going to be seeing the prices going down anytime soon, according to Paul Krugman, and they could go up even further.
You don't think it's the same kind of deal that Enron pulled on California?
Don't know. You mean where it's a manipulation?
Yeah.
Don't know. But
yeah.
So what's the deal then? Everybody's not supposed to get gas on May 19th?
Yeah, no one is purchasing gas on the 19th.
Of May.
So
what
day? If it doesn't work, they'll do it again.
What is that, Wednesday?
That's Wednesday, yeah.
Don't buy gas on Wednesday? Is that what people are supposed to be doing?
And I talked to your friend on Cyrus,
Schultz.
Huh? Schultz. Mm-hmm. And he was really, really nice. He really adored you. And he said that he put it out, but he also made another suggestion that we cut back on our fuel. That we cut back on our driving, and
well,
we cut back on how fast we're driving.
I think people are going to be forced into it because It's, you know, you don't need an SUV to go to the grocery store.
Right, and get a lot rid of all the SUVs.
A lot of people, which, and then even Hummer, guess what? Guess who's offering a rebate for the first time? Hummer. So it's not the next new thing anymore. It's the old last thing.
Yeah.
And it get, what do you get there? 12 inches to the gallon in a Hummer?
Right.
You don't get any, the mileage is horrible.
Exactly. And they build the Hummers pretty good here, but they don't send the Hummers to Iraq.
Properly armored. That's right.
No.
Okay.
But
well,
the other thing I wanted to bring up was that Laura Bush last night when she was on. You should have seen the makeup on that woman. She had so much makeup on, you could have taken a knife and scraped an inch of it off her face.
Where was she? What show was she?
She was being interviewed on Fox, I think. It was Fox or CNN. I can't remember. I watched both of them. But then the other guy they were interviewing on Fox last night, he's the cartoonist that writes those cartoons against the Bush administration.
Gary Trudeau?
No, no.
Somebody else?
Barr or Rahr?
I don't know.
Starts with R. I can't remember his name.
Yeah, so
but
what?
Anyway, he called Hannity a pimp. A Bush pimp.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
I
we might have to. I like that. All right, Annie, I thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah, 303-382-1150. Oh, I'm up against an addict, a former addict, a junkie on the Walmart across the way, and a Bush pimp someplace else. And 303-382-1150. Ray, Highlands Ranch. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Enid, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
I just want to say about Richard Sheridan, I think that he just could not allow Archbishop Chaput to go one up on him in advance of the bishops' meeting in Denver. And these old men that are desperate to maintain their patriarchal control of the church, it's just ludicrous that they impose rules about family and women's right and marriage. Because none of these guys have ever had to worry about the next meal or a job or how the wife's going to make it or, you know, marriage problems. They never had any of that to do. That's
none of these priests have ever had an abortion.
That's right.
Yes.
They don't. They have no
how
idea.
How could they know?
Now, here's the point I wanted to get across.
Quickly, quickly.
Okay. The politicians such as Coors and Schaefer and Owens, who absolutely follow the church's teachings, are now bound to comply with any future directives from Rome.
Well, there's a thought. I don't think they exactly follow the church's teachings, or else Owens and his wife wouldn't be separated, I guess. All right, Ray, I thank you for that thought. 303-382-1150. As we continue, I'll be sharing the latest bombshell with you from Seymour Hersh, how a secret Pentagon program came to the prison in Iraq, Abu Ghraib, and where the scandal begins. And he says that it was all approved by Donald Rumsfeld. 303-382-1150. Mick in Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, Enid.
Hi, Mick.
Hey, great to hear your show.
Thank you.
And Steph, I just wanted to very briefly just kind of mention, although I'm not a close friend or anything, I grew up in the same neighborhood as Secretary Powell.
Where?
In New York City, in Manhattan, Vinegar Hill, the upper West Side, just the other side of the border from what was called Harlem at that time.
Okay.
And, you know, he went to Catholic school and everything. And I just got to tell you, you know, the lady that called up about her being a Catholic still, even though she's so, you know, so sick of what's been going on, especially with the bishop in Colorado Springs. The reason I'm a Democrat is because I want to fix the party. I want to fix what's wrong with it and all. There are a lot of things that's wrong with the Democratic Party, but I do feel that the core of it, ever since they went away from the Dixiecrat movement and stood up for women's rights and civil rights and free speech and everything.
All right, well, what does it have to do with Colin Powell?
Well, I've lost respect for him because, just like Night Horse Campbell, he decided to pull the pin on the people that gave him really his start, which were the Democrats in the Upper West Side of Manhattan. Those were the people that really, you know, pushed him forward and watched him, you know, grow and, you know, his career.
Is that true? Because he was in the military. He wasn't political until recent years. He had a military career. It wasn't fostered by people on the Upper West Side.
It wasn't fostered by people on the Upper West
Side? Not his military career.
No, not his military career, but what got him to West Point and everything. I mean, there were, you know. There were people there that...
I don't believe he went to West Point. He did not go to a service academy.
Well,
Mick, are you sure you know him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I don't think he went to a service academy. We'll look it up. But my recollection is that he learned to speak Yiddish because he grew up in a Yiddish-speaking neighborhood.
That's right.
And he went to school, like, I don't know, I want to say CCNY or something like that.
CCNY, yes.
CCNY, he may have gotten a master's degree at one of the more, you know, a better school.
Well, I stand corrected. You know,
although CCNY has a pretty good reputation. But, all right, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 11. I don't know about that. AM 1150, KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150, KNRC.
1:38, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Partly cloudy, 65 degrees now. No legislative special session yet. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Had quite a bit of activity during the proper part of the lunch hour, but right now there is nothing going on the freeway system. Folks traveling along at posted speeds, according to the CDOT maps. Nothing real serious going on off the freeways either. We can always find some paving operations to talk about. One of those is along Hamden between University and Colorado. Some more paving along eastbound C-470 between Santa Fe and Broadway. And one more set of paving operations for you. This one along westbound I-70 between Chiposa and Hidden Valley. Toyota owners now win free gas for a year. No purchase required. Right now, buy three new tires. Get the fourth at no charge. Ends May 31st. See your participating Toyota dealer for details. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Governor Bill Owen says he hasn't yet decided on whether to call a special legislative session. The governor spoke at the State House today and says there is no urgency to bring back lawmakers since the regular session just ended a week and a half ago. Owens has until September to call a special session. This report brought to you by Vista Ridge. The contractor working on the girder that collapsed onto I-70, killing three people on Saturday, has issued a short statement about the tragedy. Daniel Hunt, president of Asphalt Specialty, says the, quote, tragic incident has shaken them deeply and the loss of three lives has been devastating. Hunt goes on to say that they are complying with the NTSB investigation to find out what happened and prevent it from happening again. Englewood police are investigating an early morning shooting that left one man dead and put another in the hospital in serious condition. They also have 24-year-old Teresa Spitz in custody in connection with the shooting. The woman turned herself in and investigators say she has requested an attorney. At Vista Ridge, great golf and spectacular mountain views are just the beginning. They now offer homes priced from the mid-100s to more than a million on the web at VistaRidge.net. We'll check the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 1:41.
Been wondering how to get started investing in real estate? Call Mile High Capital Group. They're experts in rental duplexes, a great way for an individual to get started in real estate investing. They handle everything from finding the right lot in the right area where your new duplex can cash flow from day one, building the duplex, and even managing it for you if you wish. So this can be real carefree real estate investing. If you can afford just 10% down, about $30,000, you can be on your way to financial security. It's a fact. If you had acted on this investment strategy of investing in Colorado rental duplexes 10 years ago, you would have averaged nearly a 100% return per year for the last 10 years. Compare that to the stock market. Call Mike at Mile High Capital Group for complete no-obligation details and tell them you heard about them on AM 1150 KNRC. 303-683-8500. That's 303-683-8500. Or visit them at milehighcapital.com. It may be the most important call you ever make.
Taking a look at the KNRC weather forecast, mostly cloudy skies this afternoon. Isolated thunderstorms are possible for us. Mostly cloudy tonight, continuing chance for some thunderstorms this evening. Upper 40s for the overnight temperature. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy and a continuing chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. Tomorrow's high in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy and 65 now. KNRC News Time is 1:42. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Next all-new Ellen actor, comedian, and wisecracking funny guy, David Spade.
He followed me to work.
Plus, Las Vegas' Vanessa Marcel. And it's time to vote.
Ow!
The polls are open for Ellen's search for the most talented viewer.
How come you're not on TV?
And Tuesday, quit your wishing. Ellen's making lifelong dreams come true.
Isn't it just happy in here?
And coming soon, Antonio Banderas on The Ellen DeGeneres Show.
The Ellen DeGeneres Show, today at 3 on 9 News.
Everyone's done it. You lose something valuable and expect never to see it again.
But thanks to a Colorado company, you just might.
We have a better than 70% return rate on items that have been reported lost.
Using a combination of this simple tag and honesty, people are getting their valuables returned to them.
If my number was on it, somebody would call and return it.
See how to get your stuff back Monday on 9 News at 10.
AM 1150 KKNIC, the way Denver spells talk radio. KNIC.
Attention, seniors.
Congrats, class of 2004. You made it.
Oh, Blanche, stop blubbering.
From AM 1150 KNIC. You're listening to the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNIC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
1:44 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I just got some clarification. I think Colin Powell did finish the interview, but he did it against the wishes of his deputy press secretary. He said, "Emily, get out of the way." And he continued, but it's sort of awkward. I wonder why they tried to pull the plug on it. 303-382-1150. Okay, we have a pair of tickets to give away to Shrek 2. Be the third caller, 303-382-1150, and this is, you can use it any time at any United Artists Theater, except it's not good for holidays or weekends. So Monday through Thursday. And Billy Thorpe saw it, and he says it's really wonderful. And I thought Shrek 1, I saw it by accident, and it was really, really good, and I just got in the middle of it. Really? Billy says it might be better. Really? It's really good, huh? Okay. So if you're the third caller, and I think we have a winner, I can see it right now. But you got to pick these up at the station. And so be the third caller, number three, and you win. And we'll have one more pair to give away in the next hour. Okay? So you still have one more chance to win for Shrek 2 and at any United Artists Theater. Let's go with the phones. Ann, calling from Wheat Ridge. Hi, you're live with Enid. Hi, Ann.
Whatever he is, the priest, the Shamu priest, just riles me to no end. I joined the church in the 70s and took instruction in Colorado Springs from an old priest who was very liberal. He was just great. And then I finished it in Phoenix, which again was very liberal. And then I hear these yahoos speak, and it's not the church that I belong to or joined. And the perfect reason why people are leaving. They overstep their bounds completely. I think they've lost sight of, or never did have sight of, the fact that they're humans.
Well, I just got a Gay emailed me this. It says, the church apparently is the church a 501c3? I don't know. The 501c3 status is not based on how they spend money. When applying for 501c status, they make the choice not to become involved in influencing legislation. They are exempt. Their exemption that can be applied for, however, churches specifically cannot apply for this exemption. This is right from the 501c3 application, and then she goes on to list a bunch of stuff. So I don't know if that's what the churches are under, but maybe so.
Well, hopefully there's going to be some governing body that can at least, call into question what they're doing.
Well, it's very interesting. I am appalled by it myself, and I think a lot of Catholics, although I've gotten letters from people saying that they're so angry with what I'm saying, they're going to give twice as much as they typically do to the church. And then I've had others of you call and say, no, not going to give a penny, going to send it to the DNC instead.
Absolutely, absolutely. This is just, I just get purple with rage. I mean, this just isn't their business. And they have no power. They have no.
Plus, I think it's hypocritical. If you're gonna do it across the line, then do. What about if you support the death penalty? What if you support the war in Iraq? Both of which the church was very strongly against.
Oh, absolutely. No, they pick and choose the issues that they want, which I agree with you are totally hypocritical. I wish there would be some sort of movement among the Catholics, to censor them or something. I know it's not their job, but they could do
they can exert the same kind of pressure that any other group exerts, and that is that they may not decide, if they think that they're not welcome or if Holy Communion will be denied to them, they might take their business to a friendlier parish,
or they might withhold
their donations.
Yeah, just stay home for a month, and I think that their donations would drop enough that they might kind of, take interest in what happens when they don't, act in a rational manner.
Ann, I thank you for the call. 303-382-1150. Terry on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Well, you've covered my topic already. So.
Well, what were you going to say, Terry?
Well, what I was going to say was, as soon as I heard about these bishops or whoever he is in the Springs, that my first thought was that their tax-exempt status should be pulled. That once you start trying to influence people's votes, you're now a political organization. And that therefore, at least for this year and probably for next, that they should have to pay taxes. They should have to pay property taxes. They should have to pay sales tax. They should have to pay all the taxes that the rest of us pay who state our political opinions.
Well, I think if the information I'm getting about their tax-exempt status requires that they refrain from being political, it sounds to me like they have crossed that line.
Well, I also think there's this incredible irony going on. Wasn't there, in the 60s and 70s, there was a priest in Boston who was a congressman or a senator. I think he was a congressman. And the church made him leave Congress because they said he had no business being involved in politics.
I don't recall that. But, the church did a, here we are celebrating 50 years of Brown v. Board of Education. And the churches were really involved in helping the civil rights movement flourish.
Not the Catholic Church.
The churches and synagogues. Well, don't you? I think the Catholic Church had a role in it. Don't you recall that?
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Go do some research on Boston, on the busing.
Well, maybe not in Boston, but I think there were other places.
I mean, certainly there were many denominations.
There was a lot of bias in Boston. But I think in other areas, the churches really, people of conscience really moved forward in the area of civil rights. You had many nuns marching, I believe. You had priests marching. You had a lot of people marching on behalf of civil rights. So to see that
but unfortunately, I think a lot of those people were not supported by their church. People like the Berrigan brothers were not, the church wasn't real thrilled with them.
No, they weren't thrilled with them.
But I do think that, the church has said in the past that people, that the people within the church should not become that involved in politics. And now they're turning around trying to tell
Catholics,
who they should vote for.
The church has always been deeply involved in politics, and the Pope has often been an emissary to try to bring warring factions or disagreeing factions together. So for the church to ever say it's not involved in politics is, I don't know on what planet this sentence would originate. I thank you, Terry, for the call. 303-321-1150. I want to congratulate Phyllis from Denver. She won a pair of tickets to Shrek 2, which our own Bill Thorpe says is even better than Shrek 1. Where is Billy? Does he want to come in and give us a book report or a film report? Oh, he's in with... All right, never mind. He's busy. He has more important things to do than to give us a film review. I mean, at Goldstein, you're listening to AM 1150, KNRC.
Why listen to Rush when you've got in it?
Love her as I love her, and there will be joy.
AM 1150, KNRC.
Tonight, it's like a facelift without surgery. It's fast, easy, and people who have done it say it really works. It's called Thermage, and we'll show you how it works tonight at 10 on News 4. In celebration of the rich history of their historic location at 1946 Market Street, Maddie's House of Mirrors is proud to present Madams and Mayhem on Market Street, a red light ragtime musical about Denver's notorious past. This original musical follows Maddie Silks and her rise from Mountain Madam to the Queen of Market Street and explores the legends and myths of other colorful characters that lived, loved, and even died in the House of Mirrors. Take a journey back in time at the House of Mirrors. Jenny Rogers, one of the most notorious of the Market Street Madams, wanted to establish a high-class brothel to surpass her rival, Maddie Silks. Madams and Mayhem on Market Street is running only for a short time, so buy tickets now by calling 303-297-9600. Showtimes are Wednesday through Sunday, and tickets are available at 303-297-9600. Mention this ad for a $6 discount on each ticket. Brought to you by Maddie's House of Mirrors, 1946 Market Street, a unique experience right in the heart of Lodo.
Hi, this is Doug Kellett. I like to tell you about new and valuable things I learn, and the latest is a new website called LocatingMe.com. This is a service that keeps you connected to anyone, anywhere, at any time. For example, if you're someone like me who travels a lot, you might wish to leave detailed information about your flight, where you are staying, and contact numbers that only those you want to know can find on the site. I could see this would be great, not only for traveling, but also to access important information in the time of an emergency. Each member of your family will receive a personalized ID card with their name, emergency contact number, and any brief brief medical info. The access ID number and password on the card will provide access to the information provided by you or your family. For example, a medical emergency, emergency personnel could go to the site with your card and find detailed info about any conditions, allergies, or medications. I could see this would also be good for that college student who's away from home to keep in communication with you. It is only $29 per year, up to 6 members of your family. Check it out at locatingme.com. I think you'll find this could be a valuable tool for you. Locatingme.com, a new way to stay in touch.
Honey, this isn't Leaping Fawn Beige.
It has to be. I painted with Leaping Fawn Beige.
Well, look at the wall. That's closer to Sleeping Fawn Beige.
What happened to the fawns?
To see true color, you need the right light. Philips Natural Light Bulbs bring out what's natural in your surroundings. A more natural light, more like daylight, so colors look the way they should, the way they really are. Philips Natural Light Bulbs. Available at the Home Depot.
I want my fawns leaping, honey.
AM 1150 KNRC invites you to join us for the inaugural U.S. Half Marathon Sunday, June 6th at Cherry Creek Reservoir. It's a benefit for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, and registration is available online at rundenver.com. Don't miss this opportunity to be a part of history. Join us in running Mile High's first U.S. Half Marathon on Sunday, June 6th in the beautiful surroundings of Cherry Creek State Park. KNRC is proud to be a charter sponsor of the U.S. Half Marathon Denver. See you at Cherry Creek on Sunday, June 6th.
The latest news, sports, talk, weather, and traffic.
I did a little research and I discovered a startling thing.
Where do you get yours?
Different, I'll give you that.
Here, Colorado Talk, AM 1150, KNRC. KNRC.
Bill O'Reilly, join me live every weekday morning from 10 till noon here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
1:55 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. All right, we've been dancing around it. Time to get to it. This is a blockbuster story. We've been, if you're just joining us, we've been talking about the Bishop of Colorado Springs. And if you vote for anybody who supports abortion rights and gay marriage and stem cell research and, 50 other things, except not the death penalty is not mentioned and the war against Iraq is not mentioned, you cannot take Holy Communion. In the New Yorker magazine, Seymour Hersh, who, as I said, won a Pulitzer Prize for his reporting Mila, he's the one who broke this prison story. I mean, 60 Minutes had the picture, 60 Minutes, too, had the pictures. But Seymour Hersh has done the definitive reporting here. And here's what he's saying. The roots of the Abu, this is the first paragraph, and I'm going to read it to you. The roots of the Abu Ghraib prison scandal lie not in the criminal inclinations of a few Army reservists. And this just appears in the editions out today, I believe. The roots of the prison scandal in Iraq lie not in the criminal inclinations of a few Army reservists, but in a decision approved last year by Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld to expand a highly secret operation which had been focused on the hunt for al-Qaeda to the interrogation of prisoners in Iraq. Rumsfeld's decision embittered the American intelligence community, damaged the effectiveness of elite combat units, and hurt America's prospects in the war on terror. According to interviews with several past and present American intelligence officials, the Pentagon's operation, known inside the intelligence community by several code words, including copper green, encouraged physical coercion and sexual humiliation of Iraqi prisoners in an effort to generate more intelligence about the growing insurgency in Iraq. A senior CIA official, in confirming the details of this account last week, said that the operation stemmed from Rumsfeld's longstanding desire to take control of America's clandestine and paramilitary operations from the CIA, to wrest control from the CIA. Rumsfeld, during appearances last week before Congress to testify about Abu Ghraib, was precluded by law from explicitly mentioning highly secret matters in an unclassified session, but he conveyed the message that he was telling the public all he knew about the story. He said, any suggestion that there is not a full deep awareness of what has happened and the damages has done, I think, would be misunderstanding. The senior CIA official asked about Rumsfeld's testimony and that of Stephen Cambone, his undersecretary for intelligence, said, some people think you can BS, and he didn't use the word BS, he used the full word, some people think you can BS anyone. What emerges is a story that is so incredible that as we continue, I will be sharing more of it, but it's something that clearly Rumsfeld knew all about. So it goes up at least that high. It might even go up higher, and it's something that's never supposed to be made public. And as we continue, I will share it with you. Jack, calling from Denver. Hi, you're live with Enid.
I think they're caught red-handed this time, Enid.
Well, I think they are, and I wonder, what do you see if you're going to look in the tea leaves or your crystal ball? What do you see going? What do you see happening? Because there is a lot of time between now and the election. And
yeah,
today I noticed they found something with sarin around, which I thought was so convenient when the publicity is so bad from Iraq. How did they know it had sarin in it? And now it's like a fake weapon of mass destruction.
Yeah, I think they're going to hype it, Enid, but send me to see Shrek, and I'll talk to you later, huh?
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate the call. 303-382-1150, one more hour of Enid coming up right here on AM 1150 KNRC. We're going to look into Seymour Hersh's incredible reporting and some of the secret stuff that we were never supposed to know about, that by law you are not allowed to know about. It can't be uttered. Very few people did know about it. Now we all do. And I'll be sharing with you that information in the next hour. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Englewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 2 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Robert Hager. Most experts don't think this marks the start of a chemical weapons campaign against U.S. troops in Iraq. But a roadside bomb that partially exploded in Baghdad contained the deadly nerve agent sarin. MSNBC analyst and former weapons inspector David Kaye says the people who planted the improvised explosive device, or IED, probably didn't know what was in it.
I suspect they grabbed this out of one of the many stockpiles of conventional armaments that you find around that country, put it in an IED without ever knowing what was there.
Two U.S. soldiers were slightly hurt in the blast. A suicide attack has killed the president of Iraq's governing council and eight other people. Investigators say it looks like an al-Qaeda operation. And a big day for same-sex couples in Massachusetts. The state's allowing them to get married. Hundreds of gays and lesbians are doing just that. Opponents are trying to change the state's constitution to stop it. I'm Robert Hager, NBC News Radio.
All right, people, we need new computers, and they're pretty expensive, so we're cutting back. If you have to travel overnight, try sleeping in a park. Think of it as a business adventure. Next, office supplies. Instead of using tape or glue, see if anyone's chewing gum. And yes, we're cutting toilet paper.
Looking for an easier way to afford the latest technology?
Sir, why aren't we just getting a Dell?
At DellRadio.com, you'll find great deals on PCs powered by highly reliable Intel processors. Get everything from notebooks and servers to printers and PDAs to complement your PC purchase. Everything you need in one place.
Water, however, will still be available for a nominal fee.
Right now at DellRadio.com, you can get a Dell Dimension desktop with an Intel Pentium 4 processor for just $389 after a 10% discount. Monitor not included. Taxes extra. Order select systems today and get up to 20% off and free 3 to 5 day shipping. DellRadio.com. Just one more thing that's easy as Dell.
Winner of 8 Associated Press Awards for Journalistic Excellence, including Best Newscast. Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is Denver's AM 1150 KNRC.
Good afternoon. Partly cloudy, 66 degrees. I'm Tim McLaughlin, KNRC News. A statement today from the contractor that placed the girder that killed three people on I-70 Saturday. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
We are just getting a report of an injury accident northbound on Broadway approaching Florida. Fire rescue equipment just being dispatched to that one right now. Northbound I-25 at 38th Avenue. Stall on the left shoulder, but people are getting out of the car and walking around the vehicle, presumably trying to figure out what's wrong with it. So use some caution there. Rest of the system moving along in fairly decent shape. A reminder that Blake Street closed between 20th and 22nd for the rest of the afternoon because of the baseball game at Coors Field. Get maximum strike checking from Bank One. Free one checking with direct deposit, online bill pay, email alerts, over 4,500 ATMs, only at Bank One. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
The contractor working on the girder that collapsed and killed three people Saturday has responded to the tragedy. Representatives from Asphalt Specialties issued a short statement from its president, Daniel Hunt, this morning. Hunt says, quote, "The tragic incident has shaken them deeply, and the loss of three lives has been devastating." Hunt goes on to say they are complying with the NTSB investigation, and they want to find out what happened so they can make sure it never happens again. NTSB investigator Ken Seidam says he doesn't know what to expect during the investigation since accidents like this are very rare.
I have not seen anything of this type. I've seen bridge collapses, et cetera, but nothing of this type with the under construction that has fallen onto an active interstate highway.
Officials from NTSB, CDOT, Jefferson County, Asphalt Specialties, and subcontractor Ridge Erections met this morning to discuss the investigation process. The ramp widening project on C-470 has been suspended until the investigation is complete. This report brought to you by Toyota Parts and Service. The Adams County Sheriff's Office is looking for a man suspected of stealing two cars and kidnapping a child in the process. Adams County Sheriff spokesman Lewis Dixon says the three-year-old boy had been placed in the back of his mother's car just after 5 this morning.
She was going back inside to pick up her other child, which was just a matter of 30 to 60 seconds. And when she returned out to the driveway, saw her car driving down the street with her son inside of it.
Dixon says the suspect ditched the car about 2 miles away in Thornton. The car and the child were both safely recovered. Police believe the suspect fled in a 1995 black Mazda pickup that had been left running in the driveway of a home on Claremont Place. Call the Adams County Sheriff's Office if you have any information. In these litigious times, there are those who will stuff themselves with fast food, then sue the restaurant because they're overweight. A federal statute is on the books prohibiting such lawsuits. As of today, Colorado has a similar statute of its own, thanks to a bill signed by Governor Bill Owens.
When people make the wrong decision, for example, eating too much fast food, it's only fair that they take the responsibility for their own action.
Owen says such lawsuits force fast food joints to ultimately jack up prices to those who want fast food. In sports, the Colorado Rockies and Philadelphia Phillies are wrapping up their four-game series this afternoon at Coors Field. Sean Estes throws for the Rocks against Randy Wolf for the Phillies. Today's game just getting underway. Toyota owners win free gas for a year. No purchase required. Right now, buy three new tires. Get the fourth at no charge. Ends 5/31. See your participating Toyota dealer for details. Your exclusive Weather Channel forecast is up next. KNRC News Time is 2:05.
Your car, $20,000. Your car radio, $300. The gas to drive into work and back.
So, do you want regular and leather, or do you want premium?
$20. Listening to Jimmy, Enid, and Doug.
8:00 in the morning. Jimmy Lakey is my name.
Welcome to Enid Live on yours.
And 1150 KNRC. I'm Doug Kelly. 303-382-1150.
Priceless. AM 1150.
Turn it up loud, would you?
KNRC.
Take advantage of great low mortgage rates today. Call Western State Mortgage at 888-617-5255 and get a loan package that is custom-tailored for your individual needs. A recent customer had this to say.
I got burned by another mortgage company. They made promises that simply didn't follow through. Then I called Western State Mortgage and they consolidated my debt at a much lower rate. And now I'm saving over $800 per month. I should have called Western State Mortgage first.
You too can lower your mortgage payment by literally hundreds of dollars per month. Western State Mortgage supports independent radio right here in Denver and Colorado. Call and mention this ad, and if they complete your loan, they'll donate $250 to the Colorado Multiple Sclerosis Society. Start your 2004 off right and call them now at 888-617-5255 or visit them online at westernstatemortgage.com to get your free rate quote and good faith estimate. Call them at 888-617-5255. That's 888-617-5255. Equal housing lender.
I'm Valerie Seagraves with the KNRC forecast from the Weather Channel. There will be a slight chance for thunderstorms today and a bit of a concern that maybe one or two of them could cross over into the severe category. Temperatures are just a tick or two below normal. We'll top out around 68 for our high. And then with the showers ending early tonight and a little partial clearing to follow, we'll drop to a low of 47. Sunshine in upper 70s tomorrow, mid-80s on Wednesday. For the Weather Channel, I'm Valerie Seagraves on AM 1150 KNRC.
Partly cloudy and 68 degrees now. KNRC News Time is 2:08. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 2:35 or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
From AM 1150 KNRC, Denver's choice for talk. Now, one of the Mile High City's most compelling talk hosts, Enid Goldstein. The producer is Joe Anderson. Board operations, Jordan Lyles. Now, here's Enid.
2:08, 8 minutes after 2 o'clock. Welcome to the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock, and we will have one more pair of tickets to Shrek 2 to give away, and our own Billy Thorpe thinks it's an even better show than Shrek 1, if you can imagine that. In fact, where is Billy? Is he unavailable? Let's see if we can get a movie review from him, a very quick movie review. But you have to pick him up at the station. And they're not good on weekends, and they're not good on holidays. And they're only good Monday through Thursdays. But that's great, except for Memorial Day, you know, a holiday that fly, you know. So we'll be giving away one more pair of those tickets here. And Thursday, Kent Hariff, who is much beloved in Colorado and lives here, in fact, and follows up his bestseller Plain Song with a brand new book that's been getting very wonderful reviews called Eventide. He'll be live with us in studio. And National Book Award-winning author and historian Ron Chernow is going to be joining us. He's got a brand new book, a brand new biography called on Alexander Hamilton, and it has been receiving a lot of positive press. So that's what's going on this week so far. I saw a cartoon in the paper today, maybe it was yesterday. Here's Rumsfeld. I accept full responsibility for the Iraqi prisoner abuse. And then does it mean that I should be fired now that it did happen? I don't think so. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. In other words, I'm taking full responsibility, but so what? Nothing comes out of it. The reason I bring it up is because I was waiting for another shoe to drop, and here it is. Here's the New Yorker. Here's Seymour Hersh. The piece is called The Gray Zone, How a Secret Pentagon Program Came to Abu Ghraib. And what he is saying is that Donald Rumsfeld signed off on this secret program. It was approved, and only a few people knew about it, that Rumsfeld has been trying to wrest control of the of America's clandestine and paramilitary operations from the CIA. And he wasn't honest with Congress, but to be fair to him, the law prevents him from explicitly mentioning any highly secret matters in an unclassified section. And his testimony before Congress was unclassified. So here's the way the story shakes down. It's called The Gray Zone. This is Seymour Hersh, won a Pulitzer for Mulai. And he talks about the prison. He said the story began, in a sense, just after 9/11 with the American bombing of Afghanistan. He says, almost from the start, the administration's search for al-Qaeda members in the war zone and its worldwide search for terrorists came up against major command and control problems. For example, combat forces that had al-Qaeda targets in sight had to obtain all kinds of legal clearances and things that they were unable to get. There was an attorney on duty to give legal, and he wouldn't do it. And so every time they thought they had Mullah Omar or Osama bin Laden or somebody in their sights, they were unable to get legal permission to kill these people, to murder them, to go after them. In November of that year, the Washington Post reported that as many as 10 times in that year, Air Force pilots believed they'd had senior al-Qaeda and Taliban members in their sights, but they didn't get the permissions to go after them. And so now Rumsfeld doesn't like this. Rumsfeld reacts in his usual direct fashion. What he does is to authorize the establishment of a highly secret program that was given blanket advance approval to kill or capture and, if possible, interrogate high-value targets in the Bush administration's war on terror. It's called an SAP, a Special Access Program, subject to the Defense Department's most stringent level of security. It was set up with an office in a secure area of the Pentagon. The program was set to recruit operatives. Its mission would be to recruit operatives and to acquire the necessary equipment, including aircraft, that would keep its activities under wraps. America's most successful intelligence operations during the Cold War had been SAPs, I assume that's how it's pronounced, SAP, Special Access Program, including the Navy submarine penetration of underwater cables used by Soviet High Command and construction of the Air Force's stealth bomber. This is what you call a black program, because it's off the books. Nobody knows about it. Nobody's supposed to know about it. Only a handful of people know about it. These black programs all have one element in common. The Secretary of Defense, or his deputy, had to conclude that the normal military classification restraints did not provide enough security. The operation had the across-the-board approval from Rumsfeld and from Condoleezza Rice, the National Security Advisor. President Bush was informed of the existence of the program, the former intelligence official said. So Seymour Hersh has the source, who's a former high-level intelligence person, who's telling him all of this information. The people assigned to the Special Access Program, SAP, or SAP, I don't know how you pronounce it, the people assigned to the program worked by the book, the former intelligence official told me. They created code words and recruited, after careful screening, highly trained commandos and operatives from America's elite forces, Navy SEALs, the Army's Delta Force, and the CIA's paramilitary experts. They also asked some basic questions. Do the people working the problem have to use aliases? The answer, yes. Do we need dead drops for the mail? Yes. No traceability and no budget. And some special access programs are never fully briefed to Congress. You know what a dead drop is, where you, like a post office box, you put it at the foot of, or at the foot of a tree, a message that you want to get to somebody, that's a dead drop. In theory, the operation enabled the Bush administration to respond immediately to time-sensitive intelligence. Commandos crossed borders without visas and could interrogate terrorism suspects deemed too important for transfer to the military facilities at Guantanamo. They carried out instant interrogations using force, if necessary, at secret CIA detention centers scattered around the world. The intelligence would be relayed to the SAP command center in the Pentagon in real time and sifted for those pieces of information critical to the white or overt world. So there's the black world of intelligence that nobody ever knows about. And there is the white world of overt world, where we all know about it. Fewer than 200 operatives and officials, including Rumsfeld and General Richard Myers, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, were completely read into the program. In other words, they knew all about the program. So fewer than 200 people knew about this program. The goal was to keep the operation protected. We're not going to read more people than necessary into our heart of darkness, said the former intelligence official. The rules are grab whom you must, do what you want. One Pentagon official who was deeply involved in the program was Stephen Cambone, who was named Under Secretary of Defense for Intelligence in March of 2003. The office was new. It was created as part of Rumsfeld's reorganization of the Pentagon. Cambone was unpopular among military and civilian intelligence bureaucrats in the Pentagon, essentially because he had little experience in running intelligence programs. Cambone was a strong advocate for the war against Iraq, and he shared Rumsfeld's disdain for analysis and assessments coming from the CIA, viewing them as too cautious, and chafed, as did Rumsfeld, the CIA's inability before the Iraq war to state conclusively that Saddam Hussein harbored weapons of mass destruction, which we know he did not. Cambone's military assistant, Army Lieutenant General William Jerry Boykin, also controversial, last fall he generated unwanted headlines after it was reported that at a speech in an Oregon church, he equated the Muslim world with Satan. Early in his tenure, Cambone provoked a bureaucratic battle within the Pentagon by insisting that he be given control of all special access programs that were relevant to the war on terror. He finally got it. It was a big battle that he fought behind the scenes, and he got it. In mid-2003, the special access program, a black program, nobody's supposed to know anything about it. It operates in its own realm, where fewer than 200 people know about it, was regarded in the Pentagon as one of the success stories in the war on terror. It was an active program. In the first few months after the fall of Baghdad, Rumsfeld and his aides still had a limited view of the insurgency. They saw it as little more than the work of Ba'athists, dead-enders, criminal gangs, foreign terrorists who were al-Qaeda followers. They didn't take it all that seriously, in other words. The administration measured its success in the war by how many of the 55 they most wanted members. Remember the playing cards that they distributed, how many of those they had in custody. As things progressed inside the Pentagon, there was a growing realization that the war was going badly. The increasingly beleaguered and baffled Army leadership was telling reporters that the insurgents consisted of 5,000 Baathists loyal to Saddam Hussein. But it was really more complicated than that. The American military and intelligence communities were having little success in penetrating the insurgents. There was a study that was done, and the study concluded, a very secret study, that politically the U.S. has failed to date. Insurgencies can be fixed, or, you know, and it goes on to say how much and in what ways we have failed. The solution, endorsed by Don Rumsfeld and carried out by Stephen Cambone, was to get tough with those Iraqis in the Army prison system who were suspected of being insurgents. A key player was Major General Jeffrey Miller, the commander of the Detention and Interrogation Center at Guantanamo, who had been summoned to Baghdad in late August to review prison interrogation procedures. The Internal Army report on the abuse charges written by Major General Antonio Tacuba in February revealed that Miller urged that the commanders in Baghdad change policy and place military intelligence in charge of the prison. So Karpinski, but I don't know if that's, somehow that doesn't sound right anymore, who was the Brigadier General in charge of that prison, she was barred out of that one section because it was now under the command of military intelligence. Miller recommended that any detention operations must act as an enabler for interrogation. So any detention that goes on has to somehow soften you up and grease the wheels for any kind of interrogation. Miller's concept, as it emerged in recent Senate hearings, was to Gitmoize the prison system in Iraq to make it more focused on interrogation. He also briefed military commanders in Iraq on interrogation methods that they used in Cuba, methods that could, with special approval, include sleep deprivation, exposure to extremes of cold and heat, and placing prisoners in stress positions for agonizing lengths of time. The Bush administration had unilaterally declared al-Qaeda and other captured members of the international terrorist networks to be illegal combatants, so therefore not eligible for protection under the Geneva Conventions. Cambone made another crucial decision. Not only would he bring SAP's rules into the prisons, and SAP ruled, it was a black program, remember this, it went by its own set of rules. They were going to use those rules in the prison. He would bring some of the Army military intelligence officers working inside the Iraqi prisons under the SAP's auspices. So in other words, these fewer than 200 people who were read into the SAP special access program, who knew about this black program, are now more people are going to be brought into it. So here are fundamentally good soldiers, military intelligence guys, being told that no rules apply. This former intelligence official who has extensive knowledge of the special access programs added, and as far as they're concerned, this is a covert operation and it is to be kept within Defense Department channels. Military police prison guards, said the former senior intelligence official said, included recycled hillbillies from Cumberland, Maryland. He was referring to members of the 372nd Military Police Company. Seven members of the company are now facing charges for their role in the abuse at Abu Ghraib. How are these guys from Cumberland going to know anything? The Army Reserve doesn't know what it's doing. And then he talked about the military police assigned to guard the prisoners wore uniforms, but many others, military intelligence officers, contract interpreters, CIA officers, men from the special access program, it's Janice Karpinski. I called her Amy Karpinski. It's Janice Karpinski. Wore civilian clothes, so you didn't know who was who. Even to Brigadier General Karpinski, then the commander of the 800th Military Police Brigade and supposedly in charge. She said, I thought most of the civilians there were interpreters, but there were some civilians that I did not know, and I called them the disappearing ghosts. You see them once in a while, they'd say, hi, how you doing, and that's the end of it. By fall, according to former intelligence official, the senior leadership of the CIA had had enough. They said, no way. We signed up for the core program in Afghanistan, pre-approved for operations against high-value terrorist targets, and now you want to use it for cab drivers, brothers-in-law, and people pulled in off the streets, the sort of prisoners who populate the Iraqi jails? The CIA's legal people objected, and the agency ended its SAP involvement in Abu Ghraib, according to the former official. The CIA's complaints were echoed throughout the intelligence community. There was fear that the situation at Abu Ghraib would lead to the exposure of the secrets SAP and thereby bring an end to what had been before Iraq a valuable cover operation. This was stupidity, a government consultant told me. You're taking a program that was operating in the chaos of Afghanistan against Al-Qaeda, a stateless terror group, and bringing it into a structured, traditional war zone? Sooner or later, the commandos would bump into the legal and moral procedures of a conventional war with an army of 135,000 soldiers, and that is exactly what happened. So Rumsfeld approved this program, and if you are wondering how it was that they never read the full report and they seemed so unconcerned, they knew all about this. The abuses at the prison were exposed on January 13 when Joseph Darby, young military policeman assigned to Abu Ghraib, reported the wrongdoing to the Army's Criminal Investigations Division. The inquiry, now there's where it gets juicier, the inquiry presented a dilemma for the Pentagon. They knew all about this. This wasn't new to them. That's why they were so cavalier. The Criminal Investigations Division, the CID, had to be allowed to continue. You can't cover it up. You have to prosecute these guys for being off the reservation. But how do you prosecute them when they were covered by the Special Access Program? So you hope maybe it'll go away. The Pentagon's attitude last January was, somebody got caught with some photos, what's a big deal, take care of it. Rumsfeld's explanation to the White House was reassuring. We've got a glitch in the program, we'll prosecute it. The cover story was that some kids got out of control. In their testimony before Congress last week, Rumsfeld and Cambone struggled to convince the legislators that Miller's visit, Jeffrey Miller from Gitmo, his visit to Baghdad in late August had nothing to do with the subsequent abuse. Cambone sought to assure the Senate Armed Services Committee that the interplay between Miller and Ricardo Sanchez had only a casual connection. It was a hard sell, but Senator Hillary Clinton, Democrat of New York, posed the essential question facing the senators. And in it, she said, if indeed General Miller was sent, and she really got to the heart of it. She asked the best question. But somewhere along the line, before the Abu Ghraib abuses became public, General Miller was read in, that is, briefed on the special access operation. He returned to Baghdad from Guantanamo to assume control of the Iraqi prisons. Once the scandal hit with its glaring headlights, General Sanchez presented him to the American and international media as the general who would clean up the Iraqi prison system and instill respect for the Geneva Conventions. Never mind that he'd been read into the special access program and he knew all about it. His job is to save what he can, said the former official. He's there to protect the program while limiting any loss of core capability. As for Taguba, the former intelligence officer added, he goes into it not knowing anything, and then, holy cow, it's what's going on. And then, the one puzzling aspect of the Rumsfeld's account and his initial reaction to the news of Abu Ghraib was his lack of alarm and his lack of curiosity. Well, because he knew all about this. And then when he sees the pictures, he says, you know, he says, this is just unbelievable. He had no idea what was going on. And the photos turned out to be the result, he said, of a program run amok. So this is a secret black program going on. It has now been sort of exposed. The black guys, those in the Pentagon secret program, say we've got to accept the prosecution. They're vaccinated from reality. The SAP is still active, and the United States is picking up guys for interrogation. The question is, how do they protect the quick reaction force without blowing its cover? If you even give a hint that you're aware of a black program that you are not read into, you lose all your clearances. The program is protected by the fact that no one on the outside was allowed to know of its existence. Again, if you even give a hint that you are aware of a black program that you are not read into, that you are not briefed on, you lose all your clearances. The most vulnerable senior official is Cambone. The Pentagon is trying now to protect Cambone and does not know how to do it. So, this is what Seymour Hersh is reporting, and these are just the highlights. There's even more, greater detail here. A black program in the running of the prison in Iraq, Abu Ghraib, the sort of program that was used with high-value terrorists, essentially that they could do anything they wanted. and that there would be no legal sanctions. That's really what this is all about. And there are code words and there are dead drops, and you're not supposed to know about it, and originally fewer than 200 people did. But it is a program that Donald Rumsfeld signed off on, and now you are seeing some of the results. And the people in the prisons are not, as the senior intelligence official put it, they are cab drivers, they are brothers-in-law, they are people who get caught up in sweeps, many of them guilty of nothing. And they are being treated in this way. This is like, it's lawless. That's what it is. It's doing whatever you want, whatever will do the job, stomping them, killing them, threatening them, torturing them, whatever will do anything to get any information out of them. Here is Seymour Hersh's story, posted on the net Saturday night. You saw a little bit of it in the Sunday New York Times. You saw a little bit of it, even less of it, in the Denver Post. And now I don't see any of it in today's papers. You will probably see Seymour Hersh all over the cable news channels, MSNBC and Fox. Well, I don't know about Fox, but certainly MSNBC and CNN and others. Will Rumsfeld be forced to resign? What will happen here? Are you shocked to hear that it had CIA backing, but even they became concerned and they pulled out? This is the Wild West, where you can do anything to anybody that you want. And then you have contract people in addition to intelligence people here doing this. And you have people in a not very complimentary way, the senior intelligence official referred to them as hillbillies from Virginia. 303-382-1150. We're looking at Bush's approval ratings at the very lowest of his presidency. It was 46, I think, last week, 42 this week. None of it has helped push Kerry up, but at the same time, Bush has put out $65 million in worth of advertising that has not changed in one, has not kept him from his free fall and has not dug into Kerry's support. Kerry remains stable. What are your thoughts on the Seymour Hersh reporting that here was a black program nobody was supposed to know anything about, that Rumsfeld signed off on, that essentially allowed anybody to do anything to anybody in those prisons? 303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Rush, rush.
Anyone else has to go, do it now. I ain't stopping again.
Middays, the Rush Alternative. Enid Goldstein, noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
In celebration of the rich history of their historic location at 1946 Market Street, Maddie's House of Mirrors is proud to present Madams and Mayhem on Market Street, a red light ragtime musical about Denver's notorious past. This original musical follows Maddie Silks and her rise from Mountain Madam to the Queen of Market Street, and explores the legends and myths of other colorful characters that lived, loved, and even died in the House of Mirrors. Take a journey back in time at the House of Mirrors.
Jenny Rogers, one of the most notorious of the Market Street Madams, wanted to establish a high-class brothel to surpass her rival, Maddie Silks.
Madams and Mayhem on Market Street is running only for a short time, so buy tickets now by calling 303-297-9600. Showtimes are Wednesday through Sunday, and tickets are available at 303-297-9600. Mention this ad for a $6 discount on each ticket. Brought to you by Maddie's House of Mirrors, 1946 Market Street, a unique experience right in the heart of Lodo.
I need to call XL Roofing right now.
Wait! I'm on hold with Sid's Tattoos and Roofs. They're going to give me a better deal.
I told you I don't want a free tattoo.
Hold on. Yeah, Sid. You'll give us 2 free tattoos with a new roof. Wow.
Wow. You should get sucker tattooed on your forehead.
But we get 2. Where are you going to put yours? How about on your right?
We are not getting tattoos. Give me the phone. I'm calling XL Roofing right now. Hello, XL.
Don't be a sucker when it comes to your new roof. Hi, this is Jay with XL Roofing. At XL, there are no gimmicks, just a great roof at a great price. Call XL Roofing at 303-761-6400. XL has over 7,000 satisfied customers in the Front Range. Remember, at XL, you won't pay a dime until your roof is done and you're fully satisfied. Call XL Roofing at 303-761-6400.
XL Roofing, we're on top of it.
Hi,
I'm Judy Schwartz.
And I'm Evelinda Ehrman. We co-host Style Matters Live, and you know we shop every chance we get.
Yeah, but in your stiletto heels, you keep slowing me down. That's why we shop at Aspen Grove. You can park directly in front of your favorite stores and walk right in.
No more walking long distances back and forth from the stores carrying heavy shopping bags, something we've been known to do.
Or driving through the parking lot praying for a spot. Spend more time shopping at Aspen Grove in Littleton, a beautiful open-air shopping center with some of the best national specialty shops, many that are exclusive to Southeast Metro Denver, such as Gap Body and Coldwater Creek with its casual chic clothing.
Don't forget Pottery Barn and White House Black Market, the only one in Colorado.
And the great Aspen Grove restaurants. I love the buffalo at Ted's Montana Grill.
Aspen Grove at Santa Fe and Mineral in Littleton is open Mondays through Saturdays, 10 to 9, and Sundays, 11 to 6. 303-794-0640. That's 303-794-0640. Experience shopping in a whole new light. Sunshine.
Leadership. Bring it into your life now from the people who define leadership in America today. AM 1150 KNRC and the Tom Peters Company present the Leadership Challenge Workshop Tuesday, May 18th from 8 to 4 at the Denver Marriott Southeast. It's inspirational. It's interactive. It's provocative. Go online to denverleaders.com now to learn more and register. Special prices and group rates are available. Log on to denverleaders.com or call 303-527-0607. That's 527-0607. Again, log on to denverleaders.com or call 303-527-0607. The Leadership Challenge Workshop, a special one-day seminar sponsored by the Denver Business Journal, First National Bank of Colorado, EKS&H Accounting Firm, and presented by the Tom Peters Company at AM 1150 KNRC.
I'm Nanette Hansen, CNBC Business Radio. Wall Street starting the week on a down note. The Dow off by 106 points, closing at 9,907. The Nasdaq lost 28 points, ending the day at 1877. The U.S. markets followed global stocks on the downslide today on the news of the death of the head of the Iraqi Governing Council in a car bombing. Oil prices also up again today, partly in reaction to that news in Baghdad, and also on concerns that demand could outpace supplies. The government's star witness in the prosecution of former Adelphia executives testified today. Former Adelphia VP James Brown said he felt relieved when he managed to get bogus figures past people. And another heated trade battle brewing between the U.S. and Canada, or maybe we should say it's baking. After disputes over commodities ranging from wheat to lumber, Canada is now planning to place a 40% duty charge on imports of U.S.-made, frozen, self-rising pizza. I'm Nanette Hansen, CNBC Business Radio.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
GEICO's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? GEICO. 1-800-947-AUTO.
This cow is trying to say new Coffee Mate half and half. Sadly, cows can't make the N sound. Only the M sound, as in moo Coffee Mate half and half. That's right. And since cows can't say in creamy delicious flavors like hazelnut and vanilla, I'll be enhancing this cow's dialogue. You tell them. Just like Moo Nestle Coffee Mate half and half enhances your coffee, as only coffee's perfect mate can. Look for the easy pour package in the refrigerator section. Now you're just being a hog.
Now, live local news and traffic, Saturdays and Sundays.
Did you hear that?
Why?
Let's hear it.
Because you don't stop wanting information on the weekends. Hear Colorado Talk. AM 1150 KNRC.
Life is great.
Yeah?
Hi, I'm Doug Kelly. Join me weekday afternoons from 3 to 6 here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
2:35 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. We'll be giving away one more pair of tickets to Shrek somewhere between now and the top of the hour. We're talking about this astonishing piece of reporting from Seymour Hersh. He's the one who's really put the face on this prison scandal in Iraq. I mean, the pictures were very powerful, but his reporting has been just amazing. You can download it, NewYorker.com, and there's no charge for it, and read the whole thing. The question is, it turns out, if you can believe Seymour Hersh's reporting, and he's probably our most distinguished reporter around, that Rumsfeld signed off on this, what is called a black program, as opposed to a white, the, you know, it's covert. You're not supposed to know that this thing actually exists. And torture, anything, whatever it takes to get information is what is being used. Should Rumsfeld resign? And there is a lot of pressure on Kerry by various Democrats who are more liberal than he is. Instead of saying that we should stay in Iraq and we need a few more men, at least for now, men and women, that we, there's pressure on, and it's mounting pressure on Kerry for us to get out. Where are you on the issue of Rumsfeld? Should he resign? This reporting by Seymour Hersh, does it, it reads like a thriller, but it reads like a very bad thriller. Suddenly, there's this whole universe that exists where anything can happen, and you're never heard from again, and it's worse than a Kafka book. 303-382-1150. Ron, calling on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
You know, it's nice to see that the media is finally getting concerned with the indecencies in Congress and the government, now that the government and Congress are so concerned with the indecencies in the media. I got to tell you, I don't know if Rumsfeld should go or not based on a newspaper article, but based on the facts. And if this is true, then I think it's more than Rumsfeld. But I got to tell you, my concern as an American citizen is based on the human rights aspect of the current administration or regime, depending on your point of view, towards women's rights and civil rights, based on their need for a Patriot Act and an overreaction, that how long is it going to be before, if they have not already started to use their same attitudes and techniques on the American people.
So, in other words, this it, not only what we thought we stood for as a country and what we look like to the rest of the world, but you're saying that doing this kind of interrogation in an Iraqi prison opens the door to what they'll do to us in this country as they get
absolutely
more frightened and as they want to manipulate us with fear more and more?
Absolutely. There are no this is, you know, there's there are women's rights issues and their thing on stem cell research. I mean, that, you know, Nancy Reagan coming out for stem cell research is a huge blow to these people and their religious Taliban-esque views.
All right, if you were going to put your, you know, looking into the future glass crystal ball in front of you, what do you see happening? Does Rumsfeld, right now I don't see him going anywhere. I see him staying in place and toughing it out.
Well, you know, I don't know.
But who knows?
I don't know. I can't, you know, who can speculate on that? These guys, they're so demonical and maniacal in their thinking and thought processes. You know, if you're not one of them, then you're the enemy, even if you're just a law-abiding legal taxpayer.
Ron, I thank you for the call. Thanks very much for your observations. 303-382-1150. Okay, one more pair of tickets to give away to Shrek. We're going to do it right now. Be the fifth caller, 303-382-1150. Any United Artists Theater is where you can use them. Shrek 2, it's really funny and a really good antidote to all these serious things that we're talking about right now. Passes are good for Monday through Thursdays, not good for holidays. You have to pick them up at the station. That's the only thing we can't send them to you, and there's no will call involved, but you have to pick them up right here, and I think we have got a winner. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Award-winning news and entertaining talk. This is AM 1150 KNRC.
2:40, time to check into the KNRC newsroom for an update from Tim McLaughlin. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Enid. Partly cloudy and 68 degrees now. The investigation into the fatal girder collapse on Saturday continues. I'll have that story in a moment. First, let's check traffic with Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Traffic on the freeway system continues to move along in pretty good shape. We're seeing posted speeds for the most part, according to the CDOT map that we look at every afternoon. Off the freeways, no accidents to pass along. There is a stalled motorist westbound Evans at Osage. He is in the center lane, and he is starting to cause some problems there. Toyota owners win free gas for a year, no purchase required. Right now, buy three new tires, get the fourth at no charge. Ends May 31st. See your participating Toyota dealer for details. Steve Smith in the KNRC Traffic Center.
Investigators from CDOT Jefferson County and the NTSB are continuing their investigation into the girder collapse at C-470 and I-70 that killed three people on Saturday. Governor Bill Owens said today that while there's an urgency to find answers, it's possible the investigation could take up to a year. This report brought to you by the History Channel. The University of Colorado Board of Regents has now gotten a chance to look at the report on the recruiting scandal at the school. The 40-page report will be released to the public on Wednesday. It took commissioners 22 hours during three closed sessions to reach a consensus and approve the entire report. The Adams County Sheriff's Office is on the lookout for a man suspected of stealing two cars early this morning. One of the cars had a three-year-old boy inside. The youngster and the car were recovered safely a couple of miles from where it was stolen. Police think the suspect then took off in a 1995 black Mazda pickup. The History Channel brings you Investigating History. History's hardest to crack cases blown wide open. Napoleon's mass grave tonight at 8:15, right after Band of Brothers, only on the History Channel. We'll take a look at the KNRC weather forecast next. KNRC News Time is 2:42.
When you need to know
information,
you never have to wait.
Now.
Talk and information 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Information now.
Hear both sides on AM 1150 KNRC.
I saw her. I finally saw her. For years, everyone kept telling me she's brilliant. She's magnificent. She can do anything. But I never saw her. They kept saying, she's amazing. You have to see her. Then it happened. I saw her myself, and they were right. I am magnificent. I am brilliant. I am amazing.
The Women's College at the University of Denver gives working women like you the opportunity to reinvent your career and follow your dreams. You can earn a full DU degree by taking classes every other weekend from DU professors at our new state-of-the-art Chambers Center. Call 303-871-6848 to fulfill your dreams in a true university setting, or visit womenscollege.du.edu.
Our enhanced financial aid packages make a DU education more affordable than ever. Call 303-871-6848 for a free registration packet.
Checking the KNRC weather forecast. Mostly cloudy skies this afternoon. Isolated thunderstorms possible. For tonight, mostly cloudy. Continuing chances of thunderstorms this evening. Upper 40s for the overnight low. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy in the morning, then becoming partly cloudy with a chance of thunderstorms in the afternoon. We'll top out in the upper 70s. Partly cloudy and 68 now. KNRC News Time is 2:43. I'm Tim McLaughlin. Our next news at 3 o'clock or when it breaks on AM 1150 KNRC.
Mary, can you overnight these to Boston?
Sure, do you want them first thing or... It's a meteor and it's coming right at me!
Not many things knock you out like a migraine.
I suppose you'll want to take the rest of the day off then.
But you can knock out a migraine with Ralpax. Ralpax Alitriptan Hydrobromide relieves migraine pain and symptoms such as nausea and sensitivity to light and sound. For some people, it starts to work in 30 minutes. Ask your doctor. Call 1-866-3-RALPAX or go to relpax.com. Ralpax. Don't let a migraine keep you down. Only your doctor can decide if Ralpax is right for you. If you have certain types of heart disease, a history of stroke, TIA, or uncontrolled blood pressure, you should not take Ralpax. Very rarely certain people, even some without heart disease, have had serious heart-related problems. Talk to your doctor if you have risk factors for heart disease, such as smoking, high blood pressure, or high cholesterol, or if you are pregnant or nursing. Certain medicines that are potent CYP3A4 inhibitors should not be taken with Ralpax, so talk to your doctor if you're taking other medicines. See our ad in Fitness Magazine.
Get your free AM 1150 KNRC coffee mug by going to our website, knrcradio.com, knrcradio.com, and then unlimited free refills at Sugar Beet Cafe with your mug. Just another way to say thanks for listening to AM 1150 KNRC. To the Enid Goldstein Show on AM 1150 KNRC. Here again, Enid Goldstein.
2:45 on the Monday edition of Enid Live. I'm yours until 3 o'clock. Congratulations to Bill in Denver. He won a pair of tickets to Shrek 2, and he's going to have fun at the movies, and maybe somebody will give us a movie review. We're talking about this incredible piece of reporting that Seymour Hersh has in the New Yorker. You can download at newyorker.com. In which he talks about this gray zone, a black program so-called in the Pentagon or CIA, when it's supposed to be super secret, that Rumsfeld signed off on. And so that's why nobody read the reports and nobody wanted to know too much about it. And that's why nobody got very exercised. When the pictures started coming out, they were going to figure out how they were going to get around it. And then Newsweek is doing some similar reporting, and they've gotten their hands on a bunch of documents that also prove that Rumsfeld knew a lot more than he's willing to admit in front of Congress, which is an unclassified session. And my question is, given that at the highest levels, everybody signed off on this thing, the torture, I mean, whatever it took, it's one thing to use this with high-value targets, but to use it for the brothers-in-law, for the taxi drivers, the people that get caught up in these sweeps in Iraqi prisons is a whole other story. And since Rumsfeld signed off on it, and since it's been reported that Bush knew about it, is Rumsfeld going to be able to continue on in the job? Also, there is pressure, mounting pressure, for Kerry to a coalition of liberal activists is expected this week to begin mobilizing support for removing American troops from Iraq, which is what Nader wants to do. And right now in the polls, Nader gets about 5%. And that's what he wants to do. It's like, all right, we're going to come home now. That's it. We're coming home. What do you think about that? Should we be just coming home? Should the pressure be brought to bear on Kerry? Are we already there? We've lost lives. Is it a sacrilege to the lives we've lost to say, you know what, oops, made a mistake, coming home now. Did you lose your loved ones? Well, we're really sorry, and we wish we'd known, but we didn't. And then Linda England, this woman who's not the cutest thing you ever saw in your life, and pregnant, 4 months pregnant by the guy that she reported to. Well, wait till she goes, you know, wait till she does the Linda Tribb number and has all this cosmetic surgery for her book deals and whatever else she's going to have cooking here. But she's the flip side of Jessica Lynch. I mean, she's the bad cop to Jessica Lynch's good cop here. 303-382-1150. She's the underside, what the Jungians would call the shadow side. And you know who is really our most able ally in the coalition of the willing or the coalition of the unwilling? Not the British with 9,000 troops. They're not our biggest allies. You know who our biggest allies are? Mercenaries. 20,000 of them. 20,000 mercenaries is what we've got there. Because that's we had to pay them. You know, it's like paying somebody to marry you. It's like paying somebody to have sex with you. You got to pay them. Or else they're not going to show up because nobody else would. 303-382-1150. Bernie, on a cell. Hi, you're live with Enid.
Hi.
Hi, Bernie.
Had 20,000 there that are the willing, the coalition of the willing
mercenaries. More the English are the English who went in with us. There are about 9,000 English. Even more, our biggest ally are the mercenaries. 20,000
really?
Of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, that says a lot for the cause.
Yeah.
I'm totally convinced that this thing is real, but you need to. How can we establish the validity and the source for the information that he's getting that he's publishing? If that could be revealed, then it puts the nail in the coffin.
Well, Seymour Hersh puts himself in a real position here. I mean, this is extraordinary information, and I don't see a big media blast about it in today's papers. There was a little bit in the Sunday Times, and even less of it in the Denver Post Sunday.
It was very little in the Sunday Times.
Right.
It's just a mention of the article and the subject. Yeah, and that's another thing that I worry about. The other thing I want to talk about is the constant reference to the coalition. Every battle, every encounter is the coalition.
Well, that's a public relations and the psyops kind of a deal.
But it's really so incredible that they keep using that phrase and that reference, that totally invalid reference to coalition. There's no coalition. It's a handful of guys here in the road. You know, God bless them, whoever's there, if it saves one American life or saves
It's
anyone.
A handful of guys here and a handful of guys there and 20,000 mercenaries, and that's the coalition.
And 138,000 of our guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There you go.
Okay, if you could pull that out, what did you do on the...
New York Times or thenewyorker.com for the Seymour Hersh piece.
Yeah, but are you doing anything on the D-ball thing? I'm getting people to write the governor and Salazar that we don't want electronic voting machines?
No, is that what you're doing? You're having people write them?
Darn right. I sent you an email that I had circulated to all my broadcast audience because we need to do that.
Send me another one. We're going to keep our eye on it. We're going to keep following the story.
And I also sent you the name of a good book, the Globalization book. It's really a great book for you to read. But anyhow,
send it because sometimes things get lost in the shuffle around here. So resend, Bernie.
Thanks for carrying the ball on this stuff.
You're welcome. Thank you. Bye. 303-382-1150. Teresa, first time caller. Welcome to Enid Live. We have a gift. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. If just the people could see that Rumsfeld, of course, should resign, but I don't want him to because it's such a politically, it would, you know, be bad for Bush if he resigned. So in a way, I'm glad he's there because I want this whole thing to, the whole house of cards to come all the way down. But just the simple fact that the man has no control. He's incompetent.
What do you mean he has no control? He's controlling this whole thing. That's why
it got exposed. That shows his lack of control.
It got exposed and it got out of control, which
and that's simply the reason enough. Whether it's an emotional, personal issue or anything like that, just the fact that he doesn't have control. So and in wartime, he's leading our military and the rest of us without any control. I'm nervous.
You know what's really fascinating about this? And you bring it up. You triggered the thought here. This is an administration so secretive and such control freaks, which whenever you meet anybody who's a micromanager and a control freak, you know you're dealing with a lot of insecurity.
Exactly. It's a lack of power that they're showing.
But they are such great control freaks, and the whole thing is spun completely out of control. Which is so amazing. The more you try to chokehold something and control it, the more it will eventually slap you in the chops, very often, not always, but most of the time.
Our president is out in left or right field or wherever. He doesn't have his marbles. He's not playing with a full deck. He is not the leader of our country. It's obvious that they're telling him exactly what to say and somebody else is in charge. And I don't know who it is, and I'm nervous.
I think I know who it is. I don't think I do. I think it's Cheney.
I don't think it's Cheney. I think it's behind all of them. That's what really makes me nervous.
Well, we had John Dean on, and he said something interesting. You know, when Cheney got into that big mess, having gone duck hunting with Antonin Scalia on a government plane?
Yeah.
Here's what he said, and it's never reported, because, you know, we know that Cheney's had about 4 heart attacks.
Right.
He goes with a whole medical team wherever he goes. It's like a paramedic wagon that goes with him wherever he goes.
And in this situation, these are people are leading our country. But the fact that we have the weakest leadership I've ever seen, they call themselves strong. I've been around for over half a century, and this is the weakest. And I'm nervous for the first time in my entire life because they're so weak.
So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to get volunteer and write a check and do all the things you got to do?
I'm praying. I'm doing everything.
Well,
I'm thinking, praying is
good, but you got to organize, volunteer, do something, get people to vote, get the vote out. Praying is a wonderful thing, but
I want the country to know that we are paying for this. This is out of our pockets.
Teresa, I'm going to ask you again. What are you going to do? Are you going to volunteer, do something hands-on, write a check?
Well, I'm going to try to check in with you occasionally and talk to the people.
Maybe that's not enough. You got to do something hands-on. Can you do it? Do you have the time?
I'll do everything I can, Enid, I promise.
Okay. Thank you for the call.
All right.
303-382-1150. I'm Enid Goldstein. You're listening to AM 1150 KNRC.
Sure, Denver has its share of talk stations, but we talk about what's important.
I would advise you to increase your knowledge.
Hear both sides on Denver's premier talk station, AM 1150, KNRC.
Vista Ridge, a great new family community, now offers everything from condominiums to single family to custom homes, just 20 minutes north of downtown, on the web at vistaridge.net.
Hi, I'm Evelinda Ehrman.
And I'm Judy Schwartz. We co-host Style Matters Live. Even if you're not born with great style, you can buy it, just like we do. And this extends to our homes. Element, Denver's newest furniture store for urban home furnishings, accessories, and artwork, meets all our style needs and will meet yours, too.
Element has multifunctional furniture to maximize your space in a condo, apartment, loft, or smaller home. The clean lines of Element's furniture for today's urban lifestyle will work with what you already own.
You'll love their eclectic mix of styles, all presented in a way you can envision in your own home.
Prices are affordable, with lamps as low as $100 and sofas starting at about $1,000. Interior design services are available.
Element is open Monday through Friday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 7, and Sunday, 1 to 5. Element is located at 77 West 9th Avenue, a half a block west of Broadway in the Golden Triangle. 303-825-3770.
Element. Your lifestyle, your home, your element.
Honey, when are you going to fix that hole in the wall? And what about the basement? You said you'd fix up the basement.
Broadway Construction can assist you with your home projects ranging from drywalling and plaster repair to old home restorations and complete home construction. Broadway Construction also works on commercial construction projects of all sizes. Broadway Construction is a family-owned business, and they approach each project with an understanding of the impact a construction project can have on your life or business. Serving the Front Range from Castle Rock to Boulder, Broadway Construction is committed to traditional business values and operate in the spirit of doing business the right way. Broadway Construction, complete home and commercial construction services. 303-926-4410.
Oh, I love the basement. Thanks for working with Broadway Construction.
When it comes to commercial or home construction projects of all sizes, do it the right way with Broadway.
Chicago Underground Daily calls it an amazing cinematic wonder, spellbinding.
My daughter, I'm not sure if I can make it.
Father, you must remain strong, for I bring good news.
Oh, you bring good news?
Yes, I just save a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See how much you could save. Visit Geico.com. Geico, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
The Larimer Arts Association presents the second annual La Piazza dell'Arte, June 19th and 20th. The award-winning festival follows 16th century street painting traditions and features more than 200 artists who will spend hours on their hands and knees transforming asphalt into pastel masterpieces of brilliant color and design. Enjoy spectacular artwork, Italian food, beverages, and entertainment. Admission is free. For more information, call 303-685-8143 or visit larimerarts.org.
Talk to Jimmy Lakey.
Mary, welcome into the program on AM 1150 KNRC.
Thank you for having me. Jimmy, I started listening about a month ago, and you have just absolutely blown me over. You are wonderful. You are speaking everything that I personally feel, and I want to have business people up there running our government.
Yeah, if we would run it more like a business and less like the government, we'd be a heck of a lot better, I think, and Pete Coors can bring that to the table.
Jimmy Lakey, weekday mornings at 6 on AM 1150 KNRC.
I really don't want to give my name. I'm a regional manager. I do love that Enid Goldstein. A mission to Mars, Mr. Bush? If there's any extra money in the budget, I think we should create a U.S. grant for hotness myself.
Enid Goldstein, weekday afternoons from noon till 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Lionel with you. Join me every weeknight from 9 to midnight here on AM 1150 KNRC. Now back to Enid Goldstein.
Well, 259, I forgot to tell you and have a chance to talk about it, but at Cannes, at the Cannes Film Festival, and I have been there. Michael Moore's got his previewing his film 9/11. He got the biggest standing ovation in the history of the Cannes Film Festival, so we're going to have to see that film. We are out of time. I want to thank Joe Anderson for his excellent work today and Jordan Lyles for his and all of you who called and listened. Doug Kellett is up next. I'm Enid Goldstein. Let's have lunch again tomorrow. Noon is free. You know, we won't give each other indigestion. We're just going to have a lot of fun. I'll turn you on if you turn me on. Do something generous. Leave the world a better place than you found it. Get involved politically. Write a check. Volunteer. Clean up some mess in your life, and your life will be transformed. I mean it. I'll see you live tomorrow, noon to 3 on AM 1150 KNRC.
Hear Colorado talk. This is Colorado's locally owned and operated AM 1150 KNRC, Inglewood, Denver's premier talk station.
KNRC News Time, 3 o'clock.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chip Reed. There is concern there may be more weapons containing sarin in Iraq following the finding of a roadside bomb filled with the nerve agent. The bomb did partially explode. Former U.S. weapons inspector David Kay says it could be an old bomb overlooked by Saddam Hussein when he destroyed weapons in the mid-90s. The White House vows the drive for democracy in Iraq won't be deterred by today's assassination of the Iraqi Governing Council President, Izzeddin Salim. NBC's Carl Rochelle is in Baghdad.
The new president has already been chosen. He is a Sunni Muslim. Salim was a Shiite Muslim. This is a Sunni. from the area around Mosul.
One pilot parachuted safely to the ground, but the fate of the other isn't known after two military jets collided over southwestern Indiana. Stocks ended sharply lower after the killing of the Iraqi governing council president heightened worries about Iraqi political stability. That helped send oil prices to their highest levels in 21 years of trading. I'm Chip Reed, NBC News Radio.
All right, people, we need new computers, and they're pretty expensive, so we're cutting back. If you have to travel overnight, try sleeping in a park. Think of it as a business adventure. Next Office Supplies. Instead of using tape or glue, see if anyone's chewing gum. And yes, we're cutting toilet paper.
Looking for an easier way to afford the latest technology?